Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina in another edition of the Yehuda Project. We're so happy to be here today. As usual, my co-host, Sister Kava, is co-hosting with me, and I'm going to get her on the line. She can say shalom, shalom. And we're going to play a song for your pleasure, and we have a special guest today that we're really excited about hearing, and we're here to let the song play. Shalom, everyone. Shalom, shalom, everyone. I'm so excited. Today is one of the best days that we've had so far because we have a special guest that we will be talking to today. Some great things are happening in Israel, and we just want to say shalom to all of our listening audience. I'm going to open up the mic for my co-host, Kava, so that she can say shalom to everyone, and we'll go from there. Sister Kava, are you there?
Yes, I am. Shalom, shalom to everyone, and bless everyone, and just I thank the Most High for being here, and welcome to the show.
Wonderful, wonderful. You want to lead us in prayer and give us our scripture for today?
Yes, ma'am. Today, we're going to actually have what's going to be a dual prayer and a scripture all in one, and it's actually going to come from Daniel, the 9th chapter, and we're going to read verses. The prayer actually starts off in verses 4 through 19. So it's going to be, I'm going to read it quickly. I'm not going to take up too much time, but this is a prayer and a scripture all in one. So this is Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And I prayed unto Yahuwah my Elohim and made my confession and said, O Yahuwah, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Jehovah, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Israel, of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, to all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To Yahweh, Elohim, belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh, Elohim, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Nay, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven have not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before Yahweh Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yahweh Elohim is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyeth not his voice. And now, O Yahweh, our Elohim, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for Yahweh's sake. O my Elohim, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Yahweh, hear, O Yahweh, forgive, O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And we thank you now, Yahweh Elohim, for this prayer. In the name of Yahweh, Bashem Yahweh, hallelujah, Bashem Yahweh Elohimu, hallelujah, amin, amin.
All right, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just wanted to take the time to introduce myself again. My name is Yaina, Yah Israel. My co-host is Kavah. Kavah, you want to introduce yourself and let everyone know where you're calling from.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, shalom again. This is Sister Kavah, Kavah Aminta Yasharala, and I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, all right. So I'm from Ohio. I'm out of Cincinnati, Ohio, and this is the Yehuda Project, and we have a very special guest today. We're really excited. We have a young man that we're going to interview, and he's going to tell his story. We have quite a few callers on the line. I just wanted to let those that are in the listening audience know that the chat line is open. We can only handle 50 callers in the actual calling log, but I think we can handle like 200 in the chat line. We will probably go overtime today because we have quite a bit of information that we want to get out to Israel. Also, we want to let you know that at 5:30, if you're in the chat line, if there's room, we would advise you to call in so that you can be a part of the last hour of the show. There's a possibility that we will be going over into 3 hours instead of two. I'm so excited about what's happening right now. I just wanted to let everyone know in the audience that we are about love, we are about peace, and we are about growing our nation of people. So without any further ado, I want to go into a little bit of synopsis of what actually happened before we had the young man come on and give his testimony. So I'm going to open up the mics. And what we do every week is we have a panel of men who have decided to be on the panel with us, and we're going to open up the mics, and we would like for you to do what you do every week. Announce, if you don't want to announce your name, just at least announce where you're calling from so that we know. We have people calling in from Africa today. One of the gentlemen that I've been in contact with, he's actually a Muslim brother. He's one of our Muslim brothers. He lives in Africa. So he's on the line with us today, and I'm really excited because, you know, I've been trying to get him to come on the show for quite a while. So I'm going to start with area code 404. Go ahead and announce yourself and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
You're home. This is Adonia. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Adonia.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay, I'm getting ready to also open up the mic to area code, let's see, 312. You're in the air. Go ahead and announce yourself.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Shalom, shalom. This is Brother Moshe Ben Israel from Chicago. I also want the listening audience to know they can go to my Facebook, Moshe Ben Israel, to see the exact address. I will be in Cincinnati this Sabbath to teach the Sabbath class at Israel Now. And I would love all that are in the Cincinnati area and those that do live there, please come and join us. It will be one explosive hallelujah time. Shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. That's Brother Moshe, you know. All right, 757, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. May I be heard?
Yes, yes.
King.
Shalom, shalom. This is Abraham Ben Levi Israel, calling from Hampton, Virginia. Shalom, shalom, shalom aleikum to all.
Let me see who else we have. I don't see Brother Nasi Kamul yet. I got Adonia.
We have the brother from Sacramento, Sister Yaina. It should be area code 916 from the Israel Family Farm.
I got him right here. Okay. Shalom, shalom, my brother. You're on the air. Can you introduce yourself and let everyone know where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Kanok Israel, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. And just to let everybody know, if you're interested, Hebrews, anybody that wants to learn how to grow their own food, you can go to our website at www.yisraelfamilyfarm.net, or you can look us up on Facebook. We've got postings that show you how to grow your own food, and not only that, but how to cook the food, how to make sure you have the right seeds, and things that have to do with self-sufficiency and independence. Thank you.
All right, wow, look at Israel. Okay, we got Brother Gary. We got to get him on. And then I think we may have everybody. Brother Gary, is that you?
Shalom, everyone. Good afternoon.
Shalom.
Yes, this is me, and I am excited about the discussion today. Sisters, I'm ready to rock and roll.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, this is going to be very interesting, and we're going to do something different today, because today we need to give Yahweh some praise, because he's worthy of all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the everything.
Hallelujah.
And what we're going to do is we're going to turn the mic over to Brother Abraham, because through the process of what I've been watching down through the month, I've seen a lot of things take place. I don't know the story. I can't give you the story. All I know is that there's been some miraculous things that have taken place down through the months that have led up to this day where we are right now. So before we allow this young brother to actually give his testimony, we're going to ask Brother Abraham Ben Levi Israel to give us a short synopsis of exactly what happened, so that he's going to lay the groundwork so we know what's going on. So, Brother Abraham, the mic is open.
Oh, Tora Roba, Akochi. Again, my name is Abraham Ben Levi Israel, and I am a elder as a part of the International Council of Elders. And as one of the elders of the International Council of Elders, we've been involved in the establishment of taking what is already the case, the fact that we are a nation of people, and putting that on the record internationally so that we may start to move as a nation versus moving as a bunch of individuals or knessets or temples or synagogues or assemblies or whatever you like, organizations, whatever you like to call it. And that sort of started a while ago, several years ago. I was introduced to the fact that I was not a Negro, that I was not black, that I was not colored, that I was not an African American. And I was actually introduced to that fact through my oldest son, who came home very excited one day saying, Dad, look, man, you know, we're not Negro, black, or colored. We are Moors. And we are Moorish Americans, and, you know, I'm going to run out here and give the police the finger. They don't have no jurisdiction over me, yada, yada, yada. I was like, stop. You know, we living in a like $400,000 house in a, you know, gated community. It's like you're not gonna be running around here giving the cops a finger. Not in my house. I'm corporate America. I can't have it like that. So we're gonna just calm you down, and we're gonna just try to figure out what you're talking about. Well, what happened to be the situation was he was absolutely right, and you know, I did not have a clue. So we started a process of learning through understanding that we were not Negro, blacks, and colors, and understanding that we had a certain nationality that was important. Again, thinking that nationality was Moorish American in the beginning, and brother, this is kind of paramount to Brother Yehuda Ben's story, because he also started out, you know, with the information about sovereignty and nationality from our Moorish American brothers. So we figured that we knew we weren't black, colored, African American. We knew that we had a certain amount of sovereignty, and that we also, you know, had a nationality, didn't know what it was at the time. So the most I put on my heart, you know, after getting wise counsel from my Isha, to do some due diligence on the matter. After doing some due diligence and after confirming that, you know, these Moors were onto something, we started to really study and dig into it. So to cut a long story short, along that process of studying the information that was given to us initially by some Moorish American brothers, we found out that we were Israel. So now the change was, the Most High said, don't focus on status. Everybody was talking about impropria persona, you know, be in your proper status, be your proper person. He said the issue doesn't start there. The issue starts with authority. So now, what did that mean? Because it meant that all of our brothers, Moorish Americans, and I love them. I still got my Moorish ID card. So I got a bay, an L on the end of my name, and all that kind of stuff in my government name. So I'm fully aware. This is definitely nothing against my Moorish brothers. It's just to give a foundation of the story. We said, okay, the authority that these brothers are using is the fact that they are part of this land, that they are the indigenous original people of the land here way before Christopher Columbus, and that they could stand on the fact that they were the original people of this land. And all of their documents and everything they did was based on this land, and that was fine. Well, as we started to come to understanding the information, we said, well, we're Israel, and everything that we do is not based on this land, but it's based on the promised land that the Most High Yah promised Abram in Genesis of Bereshit chapter 15, when he promised him the land between the great river of Egypt, which we all know the great river that runs through Egypt is the Nile, and the great river Euphrates. So that was the promise that was given to Israel. So in the quest to establish authority, we came to realize that in the order for us as a people to have the authority, to have the proper status, we had to first have a nation. And we looked and we looked and we looked, and we could not find an established nation that was recognized by the family of nations that was on the record that we could go to and, you know, put this status under the proper authority. So the Most High put it on our heart after meeting some other people, and then those people were part of the International Council of Elders, was to put together the authority for the proper status, which is the United Nation of Israel. Now, not to say that there aren't other people who call themselves the Nation of Israel and other things, not taking anything away from them, but all we said is that the documents that we need to have proper status, those documents need to have an authority. So we have to be able to, we can't keep referencing the Zodiac Constitution or CM Bay or anything that he had done, because he was worshiping Allah and we were worshiping Yahweh. So not, it was a conflict. We weren't taking anything from them, but, you know, we said as a nation of people, we can't worship any other deity. We worship the true and living power that created all. And Yahweh Elohim, you know, Yahweh is his name. So therefore, the divine constitution was put in. Well, first, divine charter was drafted. A charter, a document that puts a nation on record. A divine constitution was drafted that gave all and only praises to Yah and laid out the Torah as the governing principle. You know, the flag was designed, the seal was designed. It could be, you know, the official seal of a nation, and that official seal and that flag both used the ancient Hebrew versus the modern day block, because we wanted to go beyond what the Ashkenazi, you know, Jewish community had done, and we found that the ancient Hebrew, some people call it Paleo, we just call it ancient, the ancient Hebrew predated those things and it was more official and more authentic. We used that. We didn't use the Star of David because we knew that that could have been debated as being not only Hebrew Israelite from a Jewish perspective, but has been traced all the way back to Egyptology, so that was controversial, but no one could debate the menorah. So we used the menorah as the primary symbol of our heritage and 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes, and then the colors that were used in the tabernacle in the wilderness, you know, it was clearly defined in the Torah. Now we had a flag. Now we have a seal, and on that seal we say everlasting covenant, because this is something that Yah promised to a people and a nation as an everlasting covenant. So we took all of those things, put it on record. I mean, we filed it with the Library of Congress. We have, you know, opened up talks with the State Department. We are talking to, you know, multiple nations now, as well as putting all 50 states on record. So in the middle of this process of having all of this documented paperwork that was drawn up, tying individuals to a nation, not to Allah, not to CM Bay, not to the Zodiac Constitution, but to something that was based solely on Yah, we now have a formal process by which one can change his political status. Because the authority was in place with the nation, now the political status, in propria persona, you should be in your proper person and start to stand on it. Well, the relevance of all of this to Yehuda Ben was that he did a lot of his own research. He is his own man, and he was going down several paths. Our paths crossed. He said, you know, Abraham, it looks like the United Nations of Israel has covered the bases. I'm going to put myself on the record as Noble Yehuda Ben Israel, and use the paperwork that's been designed through the United Nations of Israel for that purpose. So now he goes in, he takes the paperwork that has a flag and a seal on it, and he declares a name correction, not a quote-unquote through the court system name change, but a declaration of name correction and public status as a common law document, gets it all done, gets signed by two witnesses, because the word says, by the mouth of, you know, two or more witnesses, let every word be established. That's common law. He had his signature, as nobody would have been Israel, and two signatures and two witnesses. That's a common law name correction and declaration of his nationality as being a member of the United Nations of Israel. That document is a part, now that's the first document and an affidavit of name correction and political status. So now this package that includes this, you know, this affidavit that includes this first document changes his name and is legally bound. He's legally bound now by affidavit to Noble Yehuda Ben and has changed it from a European origin name of Clarence A. Holmes. This is very critical to this, to his testimony. So now he still has to have the ability to operate in commerce. So along with that name correction document, he did a power of attorney that says now Noble Yehuda Ben has been established as an entity who has declared his nationality as a Hebrew Israelite, but has also declared his dual nationality as a non-citizen American national, a free man, not a 14th Amendment slave, but a free man on the land. And he's also said in that same document, which is an act of state document, has to be both notarized and apostilled and submitted to the Secretary of State in the state that you live in or you were born in. Because we're going to counteract, you know, the birth certificates and a lot of other things that they use to create your identity. We have to reverse the curse. We have to take you out of one status and bring you into your freehold status. So the name correction was done, the power of attorney was done, the common law copyright trademark was done, the two acts of state declaring your nationality and your dual nationality and your renunciation of expatriation. You're not trying to expatriate from the United States, but you are saying that I will, you know, stand firm on the laws of the Constitution, the original supreme law of the land. And I'm talking about the organic Constitution, the first 10 articles, and the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. That's the law of the land. We stand on that, and we say that, hey, we'll honor that, because that is an outline of unalienable rights given to us by the Creator, Yah. So now with this package of paperwork, along with a very key document called a legal notice and demand, that tells another outside government or authority figure that I have had a political status change, and I have put that on record both with the UCC filing, which is international, and in the Secretary of State's office, and in the local public records of whatever city or county you live in, that now all of this is officially on the record, both locally, both statewide, and internationally. Now, that entire package, once done properly and completely, gives you the ability to operate in total honor in commerce, that you can control both your, what we call a straw man name, or your name that's on your birth certificate, as well as your Hebrew Israelite name, in any legal venue anywhere in the world, and you can stand on that and be able to operate in honor. And that's I know that was a lot. I hope it wasn't too much, but that's what happened, and that's the backdrop. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, well, that was very good. I mean, you're very detailed. Now we're going to go to, I think this is Yehuda Ben, because we're going to fast forward the story now until the day where he was actually stopped by the police. And then who better yet to tell the story than him himself as to what actually happened. So I have an area code 314, and I think this may be him, 314, and I'm going to open up the mic. Yehuda Noble Yehuda Ben, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am here. Shalom.
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 Shalom. We're going to give you the mic, and we want you to tell us what happened from the moment that you got in that car up until today.
All righty. So we've all heard the backdrop of the story. Early Sunday morning, it was the 31st of December, New Year's Eve morning. I was traveling to meet somebody about some business along the highway. As I was traveling, a police officer stopped me. You know, they seen me, first of all. They were parallel to me, and then they slowed down so they can get behind me and stopped me for what they said were invalid plates, and they said I was speeding. When I was stopped, I presented what he explained as the legal notice and demand to the officer. He asked for identification. This is the only identification that I had on me with my name. So I presented myself as Yehuda Ben only. What happened was, you know, he tried to ask was it anywhere else, anybody else I was? Was there any other names? I stuck to, you know, I was Yehuda Ben. This is who I am. So I knew he didn't understand what was going on at that time. I told this officer, it is best that if you don't understand the paperwork that I've given you and what it's saying, that you need to summon your superior, a federal judge, a state prosecutor, somebody who knows more about legal matters. Which time he said, all right, I'm calling my superior. He walked back to his car. A few minutes later, his superior officer came up to the car and asked me, you know, what's the problem? And I asked him, you know, I don't know. What is the problem? Why was I stopped? They proceed to, you know, go through questions. Do you have any ID on you, any state ID? I'm like, no, I have no state identification. Do you have anything with a picture on it? No, I have no pictures of myself. Do you have any, you know, credit cards, anything with your name? I said, no. At which time he said, well, I'm going to need you to get out the car. You know, I told this officer I do not consent to any unlawful searches and seizures. That really didn't matter to them. He pulled me out the car anyway, searched me to try to figure out what I had. I had nothing. So he then goes through what I call like the word trickery, where he proceeds to ask me a bunch of questions trying to catch me up with words. And they'll ask things like, well, where do you live? And you give an address and you say, well, you know, by you giving an address, that makes you, since you have residence in this state, it makes you a citizen of this state, which we have jurisdiction to do this, at which time I correct them, no, I'm a dual national, I'm a non-citizen American national, which the status is different. These people know what you're saying. However, they will move against you in defiance. So I've seen his appearance, his face kind of change because he knew what I was saying, so he told me, all right, go get back in the car. They had me on the side of the road for over an hour and a half. So I know they have plenty of time to read over the paperwork. I called the person who I was going to meet to come forward to the stop to witness, because at that time I feared it was now five officers on the side of the road. I feared that maybe they would try to, you know, do something illegally, plant drugs, gun, do anything to, you know, try to pull me in. They went back and forth to their books. I could see them walking back and forth between their cars, opening up manuals, taking pictures of the plates, using their computers. It took them an hour. They had nothing that they can do to Yehuda Ben. I stood as Yehuda Ben. So finally they came with a fingerprint scanner. And they said, forcefully, they tried to take my hand and said, I need you to fingerprint, which I pulled away and said, I'm not putting my fingerprints on nothing. I haven't been arrested. Why my fingerprint? I've told you who I was. I've given you documentation to prove who I was. And they say, well, if you're not going to submit to fingerprints, then we're going to arrest you for obstruction of justice. So I didn't submit to their fingerprints. They placed me under arrest at the time for obstruction of justice, where they proceeded to snatch me out the car again, search my car. At this time, they found a bank receipt, a letter from the bank with the name Clarence Holmes on it. They then took that name, Clarence Holmes, ran it through their computers, and charged me for felony driving without a license or suspended license while revoked, and arrested me as Clarence Holmes. So I was immediately taken to a jail without warrant. I mean, of course, these people are breaking all the rules. I was searched without warrant. My car was seized without warrant. When they arrested me, I had no warrant. I was arrested, and I was taken to a small county here in Missouri where I know that if you're not booked in within so much longer time, they have to let you go. So I refused to do any booking. I refused to talk. I just said I would sit here. And within 2 days, they called forth five officers in this facility to forcefully book me and fingerprint me and send me through this process. So a few days go by. I have to meet with the judge so they can tell you what you are being charged with. At this time, I stood up as Yehuda Ben, told him I was no Yehuda Ben Israel. I, you know, through the power of attorney, I'm authorized to speak on behalf of Clarence Holmes. I openly challenged the jurisdiction of the court. This first representative wouldn't have anything of what I was hearing. And she's like, you know, I'm just here to tell you your charges. Literally, she was shaking at what I was saying because these people are so used to doing business in a certain way that when a ripple comes, they're not prepared for it. So they were totally unprepared for what came. But she muscled through it, read the charges, had court 2 weeks later. At this time, all my paperwork was put forth on court record. Although it was on public record, it was put forth on court record stating, you know, the person that you have in your custody is Nobi Yehuda Ben Yisrael. Here's his status. Here's his paperwork. I had a meeting with the judge who was going to be over the case. I went through my spiel. I told him everything I had to say legally, who I was. He therefore refused. He says, you know, by the law, literally, I should have been just let go. He refused and said, you know what, I'm not going to acknowledge this public record document. I left it at the courthouse. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to even acknowledge it, which is against their own oath. So he says, I tell you what, you seem like a pretty smart guy, and I understand what it is that you're saying, but if you want to continue in this fashion, then I'll just leave you in this jail and you'll sit here indefinitely. He says, I'll give you another court date for 2 months away. So through this time, I'm sitting here in the jail and I question myself many times. Maybe it's something I did wrong. Maybe I missed something on the paperwork. They have a law library in there, which you're allowed to visit. So I'm visiting a law library 2-3 times a week, studying, going over this paperwork again, piece by piece by piece, and seeing at every turn that everything is correct, from their law to international law to everything is correct, federal, everything is in place. It just became blatantly obvious that these people are not even following their own law at all. They're blatantly disregarding it. Only laws that they're acknowledging is what they make up at the time, and that's what they follow. So thanks to the great support of Brother Abraham and my sisters and brothers here in St. Louis, they proceeded to put forth numerous amounts of paperwork challenging these people, letting it be known who I was. We were relentless. It was not a week that went by that something didn't happen. So they put forth all this paperwork. Most of it, the people didn't even, you know, they really didn't even respond to it, which was, they were in error because they have to respond. They didn't even respond. They wouldn't give us the things that we needed to even defend ourselves. They refused to submit any type of discovery, which is, you know, you need that to defend yourself in any case. They refused to put forth any of their oaths on the record to prove who they were. We got a lucky break, you know, I won't call it lucky, but we got a break. We got favor, again, from the Most High, and we got the attention of the media. And the media got involved and, I believe, got to asking questions and understood from their standpoint that everything that these people were doing was in the wrong. So at my last court date, which was just here in April 2nd, for the first time, I came to court. Every other time, I've never had a court appearance. They only took me into like a private room that was not recorded, where it was only me, the magistrate, I believe his secretary, and maybe the prosecuting attorney. The Israel was not allowed in on any of the hearings. None of my people or family were allowed in. It was always these private rooms where nobody could hear what was going on. So finally, they take me in a real courtroom, and the judge gets to talking, and, you know, he tells me that the prosecuting attorney wants to talk to me. At this time, I'm so I'm so fed up that I'm like, look, man, I've already told you I have nothing to talk about. If you're not going to establish jurisdiction, which I've openly challenged, then I have nothing to say. I don't have nothing to talk to the prosecutor about because you haven't presented any charges against Yehuda Ben. You're trying to charge me as Clarence Holmes, which I've told you several times that I'm not Clarence Holmes. I've presented all my documents to tell you I'm not Clarence Holmes. I won't be a surety for Clarence Holmes, and I won't stand as Clarence Holmes. The prosecuting attorney stood up and said, you know, Your Honor, if he'll allow us to talk to him, I'll speak. The prosecuting attorney came over and talked to me, which I really didn't want to talk. She said, you know, Yehuda Ben. Also, by the way, the judge acknowledged me as Yehuda Ben. They called me by Yehuda Ben in the courtroom several times. So the lady came and said, you know, Yehuda Ben, we've come to find out that we have absolutely no way, basically, that we can charge you with felony driving my revolver. We can't charge you with anything. We have to drop all charges. So all charges of these are being dropped today. But would you consider pleading guilty to a lesser misdemeanor charge and taking time served? At that time, I was like, absolutely not. I'm not pleading guilty to anything. I'm not, you know, participating in any of your attempts to seek justice against Clarence Holmes, for who I'm not. So she said, okay. She wrote some scribble scrabble on paper. I didn't really comprehend that they were telling me they were going to let me go. So I kept going on with my spiel, and the judge broke it down like, look, man, basically, we're going to let you go. We don't have nothing against you. We're going to let you go. You're free. They're going to take you back to the jail, get your stuff, and we'll see you later. I don't know if they're going to come after you again with more charges, but they have nothing to charge you with here. So what that means is that they had nothing from the get-go. The whole attempt they had was, as we know the movie Roots, I stood as Kunta. They tried to beat me in the sand. I was Toby. I refused to beat Toby, and they was done. There was nothing else they could do. They had to let me go. The paperwork is solid, and they were stuck. So they let me go with all charges dropped. I was not guilty of anything that they said. You know, I had to sit this time, but the way they play the game is that they will sit you in this Huskar, in this prison, and they'll make you sit there until you get tired and give up, and then you submit to being what they want. But, you know, praise to the Most High, I had an amazing group of people behind me who never gave up, who kept forth, and it gave me inner strength and allowed me to stand. If I would have indeed admitted and said, you know, I'm Clarence Holmes, which a lot of people ask, you know, you were in there for 3 months, was it worth it? You could have just said you're Clarence Holmes and got out, and, you know, no, that's not true. If I would have ever at any time after this process admitted and submitted to being Clarence Holmes, it would have been at least 10 times worse, because now they get me for perjury and falsifying documents and all this other jargon. Also, if at any time they could have did anything to me, if they could have said, you know, we're not trying to acknowledge what you're saying, you're going to be Clarence Holmes, they would have. They would have just smacked me upside my head as Clarence Holmes, charged me, and sent me up the river for whatever they was going to do. So it has proven that they cannot, under this changed political status and behind this nation, with this nation behind you, they cannot act against you in law and succeed. In defiance, they can attempt to arrest you and beat you and torture you and just say, hey, just submit to being who we want. But if you stand and be what and do what you know is right, then I stand witness right here and say that you will prevail.
One other thing. Tell them who came to visit you, just to let the people know that this paperwork was not, quote unquote, frivolous or not something of that had any weight. Who came to visit you while you were in St. Charles?
All right. So while I was there, I get called out for a visit one morning, and these two Europeans come in, and they are a representative from the State Patrol and a representative of the U.S. Marshals. They proceeded to ask me questions. I had no idea who they were at first or why they were there. They proceeded to ask me questions, and I know, you know, what they wanted to do is try to tie me to some fanatical sovereign citizen movement, anti-governmental movement. So they proceeded to ask me questions, you know, who are you? You know, What is this? Where is this nation? Who are these people? What do you represent? You know, who is your God? Which all of this is stated in the paperwork, but I answered their questions, which I told them, you know, first of all, I asked, is it something, can you not read or do you not understand what it's saying? Because everything in there is point by point obvious. But I explained it anyway of who I was, what I represented, where I came from. And I said, what I don't understand is, why are you here? I told you everything that was in my paperwork. You see it. You got a copy of it right there in front of you. Why are you here? Any questions? They said, because we have never encountered anything like this before. That right there was a light just going on, because I did study while I was in there about the cases with the Moors and them going before federal judges, and this has been happening since at least 98 where they've been battling these type of battles. But for them to come in and say, we've never encountered anything like this before, it lets me know that we have struck a nerve and we've dealt a great, great blow. They've not seen this. They're not prepared for this. They don't know what to do. This is nothing like what anybody else has presented or what they've came forward with. So now they're trying to figure out that the whole 3 months, I have not a doubt that they were scrambling, trying to figure out how they could get out of this, how they could turn this around and get out of this. The fact that they didn't shows that they couldn't, because if they could in any type of way charge me, condemn me, crucify me, then that's exactly what would have happened, but they can't. So,
hallelujah.
Let me ask a quick question. I want to also make an announcement to all of you all that are listening. You have been very patient. We feel like this is very important because it's a major accomplishment for us as a nation. We also feel like that this is one of the greatest times in human history because Israel has started to come together as a nation. If we can rewind the tape and go back to the spiritual aspect of it, one thing that I can say that I know, there was no attorney involved. I mean, this is the power of Yahuwah. There was no attorney involved. There was no one standing on his behalf as an attorney. But that the brother that spoke earlier, I'm going to let him give his encounter of what he had to do in order to make this stuff done, make this thing work, because it was through listening to Yahuwah and doing what he was told to do that also made the process happen. So, Brother Abraham, if you could kind of go over what your process was through this whole thing for everybody.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, giving all honor and glory and praise to the Holy One of Israel, for it was truly a work of Yah, because I am not an attorney, don't profess to be one, but I am a servant, and I know how to hear from Yah. So, and as we went forward in the process, I learned a lot, and Yehuda Ben, you know, will tell you that we talk, you know, I mean, before he even went in, because he put his paperwork on the record on December 17th, and he was pulled over on December 31st. He was actually the first person in the, and I told him, and I tell everybody else, he actually put his paperwork on record before I did, because we were doing it together. He was actually on his way over to another lady's house to help her with hers. We were all going to do it together. Well, they kind of threw a monkey wrench in that, and we weren't able to do it. But he was the absolute first person, that's why he's going down in history, in the United Nation of Israel to have their full political status on the record. The other thing that's incredible about how Yah works is that Yah said in his word that he would bring us out in the same way he brought us in. The significance of being in St. Louis, where the Dred Scott decision was fought, that was a major decision that said that the Constitution was not written, quote-unquote, originally for us to be citizens of this land. And then that was validated by the highest court in the land with the Dred Scott decision that we could never be citizens. It doesn't mean that we can't be nationals, but we cannot be citizens. So therefore, as Most High was taking me through the process of the development. And there's a lot of people all over Israel that's been involved in this process, and I speak on all of their behalf. I did not do it by myself. I just happened to be the one in the fire at this moment with my brother, but there were a lot of people who participated in putting this paperwork together, of which I have to give my brother Shalomo credit. I don't know, I'm sure he's not on the call, but I'm going to give him his props anyway, because he is a great legal mind. And he helped put a lot of the information together. And we took a lot of information from our Moorish American brethren, but we changed it so that it would represent Israel and represent Yahweh only without any other deity. So we went through the process, and it was key. We found that if you say dual citizenship, they pull you into their jurisdiction. And they even have statutes on the books that will not allow dual citizenship in the United States. But on the contrary, they got statutes on the books that will only allow dual nationality. And the thing that's so amazing in the Department of Immigration and Naturalization, their statutes use Israel, the law of return, as the basis for the United States having a dual nationality law. So which tells me they know something. So when the State Department, you know, because the person who came, the U.S. Marshal, he actually, we tracked him down. He actually was from the Office of Homeland Security. He's a U.S. Marshal, but he was from the Diplomatic Counsel Service Enforcement Division of the U.S. Marshal Office, which is responsible for diplomatic relationships from a enforcement side. They came to find out, who taught you guys how to do this? How do you know how to, who's doing your paperwork? Those same two, that marshal and that state trooper, I'm sorry, that federal U.S. marshal and that U.S. State Department representative went to Imahadura's house in St. Louis or in Missouri, because she's listed as the consulate office, and she is as an ambassador, a diplomatic representative for the United Nations of Israel. They went to her house to ask her the same type of questions. So we have, as Noble Yehuda Ben has said, we struck a nerve. They know who we are. They know who we are. But we've never presented ourselves properly as a nation on the record and stood on our status. They didn't want to know, who did your paperwork? How did you guys know how to do this? Because if you would have said dual citizenship, we would have had you. But you said dual nationality. Mm. If you would have tried to stand on just one word being wrong, when he was in, I called the Secretary of State's office, because we put a legal notice, it was called a judicial notice and proclamation, in with the Secretary of State and with the with the Division of Motor Vehicles, to say, on the record, you know, we are officially giving you notice that we are a nation of people. He has the right to travel, and he, you know, has a right to establish himself as being a sovereign national of this nation. And here are the documents that, you know, give you judicial notice and proclamation of our nationality. I talked to the head prosecutor for the state, for the Secretary of State's office. He said, yeah, we received your paperwork. Yeah, we know who you are. But we're just going to see how this plays out. So they were fully aware. I talked to the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. He said, we believe me, we got a whole team. Both the head attorney for the Secretary of State's office in Jefferson City, and the Attorney General's head prosecutor for the Attorney General's office, I spoke to both of them personally, and they said, we got whole teams of people on this. Don't worry, we know. And if we have to, quote unquote, you know, see you in court, we represent the state, so we're not helping you, we're not talking to you, and we'll see you in court. So they weren't taking it lightly. They had teams of people going through that paperwork trying to find a flaw. And at the end of the day, after 9 months of reviewing it and all kinds of back and forth, they basically said, we have no evidence. We cannot make you be under our jurisdiction unless you consent to be under our jurisdiction. When we tried to go and see him, they said, well, the problem is he won't let us arrest him. He won't consent to us booking him. See, we don't understand. We're in slavery by consent. As soon as we stand up on Yah, this is not an individual battle. This is a Yah battle. As soon as we fear man more than we trust Yah. And as soon as we start to trust Yah more than we fear man, this is proof positive that they can't hold us. We are holding ourselves in captivity because of the condition of our mind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Kavai, you have anything you want to say? Because we're going to open up the panel now for those people that are on the line. We also want to make an announcement for you all that are listening. We would like to invite Noble Yehuda Ben to come to the 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address, where all of us are going to come together and we're going to worship Yah and praise him for all that he's done, because this is miraculous that's being done in our lifetime while we're yet here on the earth, while we're still in captivity. And it's a great thing, and we need to celebrate these kind of victories, because from where I sit and the things that I've seen from Israel, Israel has been a people that has been completely beaten down to the point where the hope is gone, and they really don't appear to have a whole lot of joy. But when you can get a victory like this, and I mean when and I can say this, is some people will say it's a cliche, but it's actually real. When you can bring Goliath down with a slingshot and a rock, you're doing some big things. So I mean, you know, for some people they'll say, well, you know, we've done it before. Yeah, you know, it's happened before, but not like this. It hasn't happened. That young man, and he's a young man, he stood for the whole nation. He took it. He took an L. He stood for the whole nation. He has a wife. He has children. He has a family. They went without while he was gone, and he stood for us as a nation. So I think that everybody on the phone should give a shout-out, a hallelujah to Yah, and I'm just going to leave
hallelujah.
It to somebody. Go ahead.
Yes. Shalom, shalom, my brother. It's a pleasure just to hear your testimony. And seeing the hand of Yahuwah moving and maneuvering even through the system of our enemies to keep us out of that system. So I want to praise Yah for that. But I did have a question I wanted to ask you. Seeing that when they detained you and didn't have a reason to charge you and to book you, were they trying to book you under the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, which says that they can detain Americans indefinitely? Were they trying to do that? Is that why some of the agents or whoever they were that came to U.S. Marshal and came and they visited you?
They never made mention of that, and I thought about that, but I can't be completely sure. And I know what you're saying, how they could basically say, you know, they could find any reason to label you as a terrorist and hold you indefinitely and say, you know, you don't have to have any type of trials. I don't think that really came up like in that circumstance. I believe, though, had I have spoken to them in any type of militant or, you know, anti-governmental way, then yes, they were looking for a reason to slam me and throw me under a rock and keep me under lock and key. So I made sure that I spoke very clearly, and I told them that I am in no way anti-government. As an American national, I am completely in accord with the organic original Constitution of the United States. I am no way a part of any one of these terroristic sovereign citizen, anti-police movement groups. I'm just simply stating who I am, where I'm from, and I will only be acknowledged as that. So,
okay, that's I'm sorry. Go ahead, my brother.
That was it. They didn't really give me a clue as to what they were trying to do, but I can just it's all a war of words and trickery, and if at any time I didn't know what they were saying and I would have slipped, then we more than likely wouldn't have been having this conversation today. But thanks to the Most High, I was thoroughly prepared for all that they were trying to do, and I made sure I navigated as best as I could all their landmines and their traps. So they're stuck.
Yes, so I praise Yah for that. The reason why I asked that question, because I know that there is a terrorist list out there, and they have Hebrew Israelites listed on as among the terrorists, you know, who they say are terrorists because militant or whatever they want to label us, because we are out there speaking the truth and getting that truth out. But I wanted you to explain to the people the importance of your demeanor and the importance of your wording and the verbiage that you use, so that if our brothers and sisters who come under the umbrella of the United Nation of Israel and they were to encounter something like this, that they have to have wisdom with their words, and not even just with their words, but even in self-control and controlling their emotions. So that they wouldn't be tied to or lumped in the category as being a terrorist or anti-government or very hostile towards the police. So I thought that's very significant, so our people could understand how to maneuver in the system and the way we have to carry ourselves in doing so. So thank you so much for that. All right. We're going to open up the line. We got a couple of people on the line that have been holding. Area code 513. Has been holding for a moment, and then we're going to go to area code 314. I'm not sure, that might be Ima Hondura, but I know she was very significant in the whole process, and we definitely want to hear from her today. So area code 513, your line is open. You're on the air. Go ahead. Shalom.
Shalom alaikum. Shalom alaikum, Brother Abraham. This is Brother Yosef from Cincinnati.
Shalom.
And I'm very elated to hear how Yah rescued the brother out the lion's den. Praise the mighty Yah for you, brother, and for you to stand on your square. That just goes to show that we all have to be soldiers in Yah, and you stood firm. And, you know I was talking to Brother Ibrahim about what was going on, and, you know, I was looking in the Black Laws book and telling about habeas corpus, and, you know, I was praying that the Most High delivered you. And it's good to study, and it's good that Yah is teaching us this, how we can come out of her. And just praise Yah for you, brother. I mean, I am elated that, you know, that to see a warrior like you just stand firm on your square, like throw your shoulders back and stand on Yah and stand on the word of Yah and not nothing else, and let Yah, like you said, navigate you through this. And praise Yah for you, my brother. Hallelujah.
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 We're going to go to area code 314. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. May I be heard?
Shalom.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom, shalom.
This is Ima Hadura out of St. Louis, giving all praise and honor and glory to the Most High Yah, because He is truly our Savior. And I just wanted to say that I'm so proud of my baby, because he did stand, and he stood soundly and stood proudly for the nation. It's one of the things, you know, that Psalms 127 says, unless Yah build the house, we labor in vain, you see. And we've had this house trying to be built in many ways. We had it try to be built by the Nation of Islam. It didn't stand. We've had it built, they've tried to build it by the Moors. It hasn't stood. But the Nation of Israel, because that's who we truly are, not an organization, not a belief, not a church. We are a nation of people scattered throughout the earth among all the other nations. And until we trust Yah, I mean trust Yah, Israel operate out of the operandus of fear and not trust. We fear this white man more than we trust the great I Am. And this baby came along just coming into knowledge. He hasn't been in knowledge that long. But you know what? He had a relationship with the Most High Yah. And he stood when we had so many of our people out there that's been walking this walk for years. They talk to talk, but the walk is not there. So when we reached out to them, they were, what did this brother do? The only thing he had to do is give his name. You know, no, I can't support nothing like that. We're so quick to condemn our people. And we have to come to know, as long as we keep walking side by side in agreement with our oppressor, that means that we are walking out of order with Yah. You see, we took this man, we've made this man our God. And so forth, the Almighty is saying, lean not to your own understanding, but trust me in all that you do. You see, so I'm thankful that the Almighty sent forth sisters like yourself, Sister Yaina, that who will put out those, all right, what can I do? You didn't come in condemning. You came in offering, what can I do? Praises to the Almighty for the life of Brother Abraham that said, hey, brother, don't worry. We're here. We're going to get you through this. And for all the others that have stood by and came and bought their little pennies and nickels together, so for if we needed paperwork done or whatever, that money was there. We didn't have no money, but y'all made a way. And I'm just on here to say to everybody, all praises to the Most High, Yah, Israel, we have got to start trusting Yah. We've got to trust him, and we've got to begin to move as a nation. That Homeland Security, when they came to my house, they didn't come out there to investigate no organization. They wanted to know about the nation. They wanted to know, well, how many are there of you? I said, we're countless. You see, we're scattered throughout the whole earth via slave ships. You see, and the only reason why this young man is in jail right now, I'm sure you've seen the series Roots, and it says, what's your name, boy? My name is Kunta Kinte. Your name is Toby, boy. And I said, see, right here, they said, what's your name, boy? He says, my name is Nova Yehuda Ben Israel. Your name is Clarence Holmes, nigga. Put some handcuffs on him. What's your name, boy? My name is Nova Yehuda Ben Israel. Your name is Clarence Holmes, nigga. Throw his behind in that squad car. What's your name, boy? I said, eventually, throw his ass in jail. That's why he was in jail. I said, and you guys know that he was more righteous in what he did than what, I said, because he righteously, using your law, took back what was wrongfully taken from our people. You came and kidnapped and stole the people. Brought them over here, reduced them to niggas, and again gave them names like Clarence Holmes and Robert Price or whatever. We all know Clarence Holmes did not come up out of Israel. I mean, and it didn't come up out of Africa. So if it didn't come out of Africa, where did it come from? How did he become Clarence Holmes? You see, I said, so in speaking to our people, we've got to stand up, Israel. You've got to change your status. Had he not changed his status, it would have been nothing we could have done for him. But as a nation of people, we have got to stand up. We can no longer stand back and shake in our boots in fear because we're scared of what this man might do. We've got to trust y'all once again. Hallelujah. Thank you for my little piece, Aina. Praise the Most High, Yah.
Oh, you don't have a little piece. You know what? She's being modest. This lady is old enough to be my mother, and she stood, and she was the one that went to the courthouse, and she was the one that took on the guards and all the clerks and all the people of the office, and she ran the men from the State Department away with their tail tucked between their legs, because we got people like her that stands up for the nation, and the problem comes in is when you got women her age and this young man 28 years old and Brother Abraham and all of Nasi Kamul and all of the people, Brother Adonia and everybody in Hawaii and all the people that put this thing together that'll stand for the whole nation. And then you have all of the costumes and you got all of the rituals and you got all of the pageantry that I see with Israel. But you know what? It's time for Israel to stand up, because if we don't do it, we're not going to be no different than the church. And that's my whole point. So I just wanted to get that out. And, you know, I don't want her to say she has a little piece, because she had a great impact on this thing. And she went the distance. So, you know, we say hallelujah to you and all of your sacrifice. Even when you weren't feeling well, you went anyway. You know, and we really honor you as an elder, and we thank you for everything that you've done. And we just want to open up the panel right now. If anybody has any questions or you guys want to know something, you guys are welcome to say whatever it is you need to say.
The brother's name, could you give us their name again, the one who spoke first and then the gentleman who spoke second?
Okay, the first person who spoke was Abraham Ben Levy Israel, and he's from Hampton, Virginia. And then the young man who actually went through it was Noble Yehuda Ben Israel, and he's from, I think, from St. Louis. Is that right, Noble Yehuda? You're from St.
That
Louis,
is correct.
Missouri?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, we have some great things, but go ahead, Brother Jared.
Well, first I want to say, first of all, I want to, you know, celebrate the brothers. Brother Noble Yehuda, you celebrate your deliverance out of the bowels of Babylonian incarceration. I mean, that is a victory. That is, I mean, definitely something that, you know, that we should give praise and glory and honor to Yah for. You know, been there, done that. So, again, you know, just give praise to that. And obviously, our first brother, Brother Abraham, you know, you've been thoroughly in your legal pursuit of national recognition. You know, and I salute you and the brother, you know, for having the moral fortitude to stand behind your convictions, you know, especially to the point of incarceration, you know, because many people give a lot of lip service, but they're not willing to really stand behind their convictions, you know, and so I salute you with that, you know, that most certainly. Now, the some things that you said, of course, now I'll just give you my perspective, because I don't want people getting me twisted and getting me bent. Because definitely, I think that for all intents and purposes, this show exists to give us information so that we can use and we can apply personally, collectively, to build as a nation. So, and that being so, I have a couple of questions, and so I just want you to understand my understand why I ask these questions. One reason I ask this question is because of the word that Sister Kavai brought up. She brought up the word terrorism. And I know we live in a very paranoid state, a very paranoid society. And when people say and do things that are sometimes perceived by the public as being as, what we can say, anti-American or what have you, we get labeled. And also, as well as that, you know, the Bible says, you know, be wise as a serpent, you know, be harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. And so, as a result, there's a couple questions I just wanted to ask. The first thing I would like to ask, Brother Abraham, and that is this: what is, in the final analysis, what is to be achieved by dual nationality? But actually, yeah, what is it to be achieved by dual nationality?
Hallelujah. First, I'd like to greet you, my brother, in the name of our, you know, Holy One of Israel. And to answer the question, is the thing that's achieved by dual nationality is the ability to state for the record that you are of, that you have a heritage, that you have inheritance because you have a nationality. So the first thing is that you're just putting on the record that I am a sovereign national of the United Nation of Israel, and that is the ability to just put your heritage out there in an affidavit format.
Okay, now in terms of freedom, let me ask you this. The United Nation of Israel, I know the answer to the question, but I have to ask it because of where I'm going, because it's imperative, because this is the reason why. Just like Kavai said, that if you go in right now, most likely, yeah, the Hebrew Israelites are on what would be considered to be a supposed terrorist list. That means that those are people with questionable actions that they keep under observation, under surveillance. And for all intents and purposes, we definitely are. And for that very reason, because of the fact, as leaders, as teachers, and people here who are representing the nation of Israel, that means that we're ambassadors. And that means we have a responsibility and an obligation that we represent the concerns, and we represent the interests of our nation. And we know one single person ever takes upon them the power and the authority to do that. Because in a nation, we're all subject to some kind of power in some form or fashion. So therefore, we have to be accountable. We have to be accountable because now we're moving to a position to where now we can actually put people in harm's way. And if we're going to do that, we need to make sure that what we're doing is consistent with the will of the Most High. Because I did use the word deliverance, because sometimes he delivers us, not necessarily in the sense that we're okay, it's a victory, but it's a deliverance because he recognizes the zeal. He recognizes the passion that we have for him and for his kingdom. But the scripture clearly says, would it be wise to serve him? So I have to ask you this question here. Because you said dual nationality, and we're talking about in terms of freedom and so forth. But let me ask you this, and I hate to ask this question because it's almost as if though I don't want you to come off, well, okay, this guy asks questions like you're an officer or whatever, but it's just real simple. Do you have a Social Security card?
Do I have one?
A Social Security card.
Yes, I do have a Social Security card.
So
yes.
In other words, you cannot work within the United States of America without a Social Security card. And that
okay.
means that you pay taxes to the United States of America off of the income that you receive. So
that has been true in the past, correct?
Yeah, that's been true in the past. And the reason why I'm asking this is because the brother handled himself wonderfully. He handled himself wisely. And I would say for the most part, it was his ability to remain calm and controlled in the midst of an obvious hostile situation so that he could hear the voice of the Most High so that he could know what to do and what to say. So that's why I come and say, brother, I celebrate you. I give you honor for what you've done. And I can say this in the terms of a person who is a father, that, man, I am proud of you. I am proud of you because I think you operated within the terms of what you knew to be so. You stood behind your convictions and you moved forward with it. And so I definitely recognize that. But within this whole thing, if the objective is to achieve a degree of liberty to the point that we are not accountable to the government of the United States of America, dual nationality does not do that. Because even those Ashkenazis over here who come under dual nationalities, they are subject to the laws of this land. And if that young brother, most for all intents and purposes, I've been in Texas, if they'd arrested you in Texas, they could have arrested you for one thing, refusing to give them a driver's license because it is against the laws of the state of Texas to operate a motor vehicle without license. And that's done for protection, and that's done in any government that is responsible. So those are kind of the things that, as you all put this out here, please help us to understand because, again, remember, what you're doing now, you're moving to a point to where now you're putting people in harm's way. And call it hatred, call it hater aid, call it what you want to call it. No, it's love because of the fact of the matter is that a father, anybody with a fathering spirit, wants to protect those in whom he has the responsibility in being care of. So therefore, if this being a radio that's open to nationally to anybody can hear, I just think in terms, because I tell people in a minute, I don't follow no one blindly into anything. As a matter of fact, I didn't even follow the Most High blindly until he proved himself to me, and then I trusted him blindly. So you are people that we are coming into fellowship with, understanding with, but we need some real, there's a lot of specifics that have to do with this that really causes some concern on my part because of the fact is that, again, you know, I will stand by the word of the Most High to the point of death. I do not, hey, that's a reality. But at the same time, I'm not going to do anything that would put me or anyone else in harm unless I know that I'm backed by what the scripture says. And I know that we are here in a land of captivity. Like I said, you were delivered from Babylonian incarceration. Even with dual nationalism, you are still a captive in this land. And therefore, that means that every dime that you make, Caesar gets his part of it. So when we talk about what degrees of liberty, this is the question. The chances that are being taken, what is the return? For any business investment, there needs to be a pro and con, and in the final analysis, there needs to be a profit margin return. So what I'm asking is that you said this is for acknowledgement of nationality. Well, I get you on that. But I'm asking you, are the route that you're taking and that we are, as a people, are considering taking, is it worth the return? Because, again, you're putting people in harm's way. and we shouldn't do that blindly, and I could care less who has a problem with me saying that, because people's lives are at stake.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Okay, now I'm going to give Brother Abraham an opportunity to respond to you. I also have Iman's mic open, and I wanted to let Brother Moshe know that his mic is open as well. I want to also let everybody know that we have exactly 40 minutes left on this two-hour span, but that we're going to go into overtime. I know we were, so if you're in the chat room and you want to be a part of this conversation at 5:25, I suggest you log in and dial in on the number. The number is area code 718-664-9551. And Brother Abraham, if you want to take that and answer that, we can. And anybody else that wants to come behind him and either give support or whatever, this is an open forum, and we allow people to say what they want to say. So go ahead if you want.
Hallelujah. Well, I definitely want to first thank the brother for his concern as a leader and for the concern of our people as a whole. But I want to give Nova Yehuda a chance to speak to that first, and then I will follow him up. Because, you know, the dual nationality and the political status did not put him in harm's way. It saved him from harm. And I'm going to let him speak, and then I will give you all of the legalese behind that so that you can get a clear understanding of what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and why it's scriptural and it's being led by the Most High himself.
Okay. Yes, I'm here. Like the brother who spoke, I am totally, you could say we are of the same accord, because I refuse to submit to anything blindly. I refuse to do anything which I don't understand the outcome. I refuse to do anything that I feel is going to jeopardize my future, put me in harm's way. Everything you asked about, you know, the Social Security card, how am I going to work, how am I going to conduct business, all of these were concerns of mine, you know, from the beginning. Like, you know, once I change this, you know, everybody needs a Social Security card to work. Then how am I going to conduct myself afterwards in this process? Well, it's only been one part of this entire process that's been revealed, and that is the standing of, you know, of the name change and the political status. That is just the beginning. Now that you know, it's acknowledged that we have a right to do that, there are several other parts behind this, which deals with issues of the Social Security card and the birth certificate and, you know, your taxation status. There are several things behind that which deals with that. And to operate completely, let's say you put it, what are we trying to achieve? Are we trying to achieve freedom, you know, liberation, you know, as a national, you're still subject to rules. I agree. I'm in total accord. I'm not going out here stating that I don't have to follow any rules. I'm totally a sovereign. I'm independent, because that is not true. The change of status just means that the venue in which I operate is has changed. The way in which I operate in this society is now going to be changed. Like every person, you know, your congressmen and your presidents and your mayors, they operate in a different status. Therefore, you know, they're subject to a form of what's called diplomatic immunity. It doesn't mean that they can totally go out and do what they want to do. It just means that they're held to a higher set of rules. Just say, instead of being subject to state and these, you know, judicial and legislative statutory rules, they're subject to the federal and the original organic rules of the land, which by being a national of America, I'm also subject to the organic and original rules of the land. But now I take the status which I have now, and I begin to, as you say, deliver. I won't be standing as Clarence Holmes, but until everything is cleared, to all the paperwork is finished and all the process is done, I operate still. It's two different characters. We'll put it like this. You have Yehuda Ben and you have Clarence Holmes. Both entities are recognized. But now with this status, I will control the aspects of Clarence Holmes. I fully control Clarence Holmes as an ens legis or as a legal entity, which means that everything that Clarence Holmes has, meaning bank accounts, taxes, Yehuda Ben controls that until the whole, right now, just in this spot, until the paperwork process is finished. Okay? So,
how does that differ from a DBA?
Doing business as?
Mm-hmm.
Let me jump in. First and foremost, thank you very much, Yehuda Ben, for giving us a basic understanding and a foundation. I'm gonna go back and answer the brother's question directly. You asked me if I have a Social Security card. The answer is yes. But the difference between me and possibly yourself is that I'm a secure party creditor, and I own and control my Social Security card. Avraham Ben Levi Israel is a secure party creditor holder in due course, and everything that happens in Charles Corey's name is now owned and controlled by me. So we operate
that's
under
similar
the basic
to a DBA. That's why I was asking.
I'm going right to where you live. So just wait for me because I'm coming.
Okay.
The thing that has happened to us is we've been reduced to a people that only understand how to be consumers. And therefore, we only operate as debtors and consumers in a system. We're changing first the political status so that we can now put our proper commercial status in line under the UCC. So Avraham Ben Levi Israel has made a declaration via affidavit, which is unrebutted. Any unrebutted affidavit stands as law. So my affidavits have been on the record for more than 30 days, have not been rebutted. They've been on record with the Secretary of State's office and have not been rebutted, and they're on record with the Secretary of State, and they're on record with the Treasury Department and the IRS. So now I've told them and sent my paperwork and said, I, Avraham Ben Levi Israel, am now the secure party creditor holder in due course for everything that Charles Corey has ever done. For anything that's under that Social Security number, I now control that Social Security number. It's just like a DBA. It's just like a LLC. It's just like a corporation. So, because Charles Corey is a straw man corporation. He's a legal fiction. So, therefore, Avraham Ben Levi is not that. I'm a flesh and blood sentient being that has the ability as a secured party creditor to deal with anything that comes up for Charles Corey. So if I need to use Charles Corey's Social Security number or if I need to use his driver's license, I have accepted those things along with my birth certificate for value on a UCC-3, filed them with the Secretary of State's office, and submitted them to the Treasury Department and submitted them to the IRS and said, if you have any issues with these, you come see Avraham Ben Levi Israel. He's the secure party creditor holder in due course. And no lien comes on this stuff that's higher than my lien. I have a $100 billion lien perfected against anything that happens with those. It is all in writing, and it's all on record with all the appropriate departments. The difference that we're doing is we're hitting them straight up head on. We called the State Department and said we are. Matter of fact, we're in the process of right now of contacting DOJ and refuting the Megiddo report that has listed us as domestic terrorists. We're saying as a nation of people, we take exception with a slanderous representation of us as a people. We are not terrorists. We are not a cult. We are a nation of people that have been stolen from our land, held in captivity. The Most High has brought us to knowledge of self, and we now stand to represent our people. So we're not running from them. We're not hiding from them. We're not ducking them. We're just telling them, guess what? We know who we are. And the only way to do that legally, on the record, for the record, and let the record show is that you have to state for the record your dual nationality status, because they don't recognize you as an individual. As a 14th Amendment citizen, you are chattel property in the eyes of commerce.
Right.
I mean, your lawnmower
can't go to court and say, I ain't cutting no more grass, I ain't doing nothing else, because, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, you a lawnmower, I own you. You need to go back in the garage and mind your business. That's how they see us. But if that lawnmower were to go in and get their secure party creditor status, then that lawnmower can look me eye to eye on equal footing, and we can have a debate about who's going to cut the grass.
Right,
that's
right. And brother, I just wanted to say this because I'm going to have to back out of here in just a minute, but I just wanted to say this to you and to Brother Noble. First of all, I appreciate your candor. I appreciate your ability to really take the time to explain what it is that we are, and I say we because I'm part of it, so that's why I involve myself, because as Sister Kavah let you know, is that anytime I'm convinced that this is, first of all, of the scripture, I'm going to listen to the rest of it. I'm going to archive the rest of the show because I had a prior engagement, something that I have to get to, but I want to say this to you gentlemen, is that I really appreciate you taking the time to really lay this out. Because I want to say this, but I didn't get you two brothers to say this. This one thing I want to understand, this is the point I was going to. Because I want us to be confused with other groups. Like you said, like as Kavah said, the concern that she raised and what you said as far as being on any type of terrorist status. What you're attempting, is it yet or is it not an attempt at sovereignty? Absolute sovereignty.
It is most definitely an attempt to absolute sovereignty, without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, you know, when you say absolute sovereignty, therein lies your problem. Therein lies a great problem, and this is the problem here. It's because to be an absolute sovereignty, you have to be given. When you're saying that you're of a nation, that nation has to be an internationally recognized entity in order for that to happen. And for that to happen, therein lies, again, I say a problem. Because the first thing that's going to become a concern for that, in order for you to have that, you have to have real estate, sovereign real estate. And you do not and will not have that in the United States of America.
Okay, that is
that's
absolutely
why, that, for that very reason,
untrue.
Let me say this. For that very reason, the wealthiest people.
That's not true, man. You can own property in Allodium in the United States right now and have absolute sovereign ownership of the land, free from eminent domain, free from, you know, codes and compliances, free from taxation, right now in America, and then I could go to the codes in the various states and show you. But if you don't know about it and they tell you that you can't do it, then that's what you believe. But I'm telling you what I know.
Right, and that goes to the point. That goes to the point of your earning.
You can own land in Allodium in this country, but that's not the point. The point is that we're a government in exile. Our promised land lies between the Great River Nile, the Great River of Egypt, and the Great River Euphrates. That's really the only land that I'm looking to the Most High to bring under sovereign rule of His people.
And do you not believe that I understand that? Do you not believe that I would not be?
Shalom.
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Well, he was talking, and then he just dropped out. Is he still
you
there?
Say complete. When you say complete sovereignty, you do understand. That is an ambassador of Israel in this land, they do not pay income taxes to the United States of America. Everything that a person earns in this soil, if you do have what you would say citizenship of Israel, but you are dual nationals in America, you still, as an ambassador, and that's different than political status as an ambassador, that means that all income that you derive is paid to your home state. So you do not have sovereignty in that sense, and you will not have it unless you have a recognized geography outside of the bounds of the sovereign rule of the United States of America. Even those what you just said explained about intimate domain, in order for that person, you can live over in a corner all you want. But if you're going to work in this nation, if you're going to earn an income in this nation, and an income that is exempt from taxes, you have to have a recognized standing state who recognizes the power and authority in which you operate up under as a dual nationalist.
Okay, can I get in there for a minute, please?
I want to ask something to Brother Abraham as well, Sister Yaina. Based on what Brother Gary said, I have a question that maybe be able to answer, that Brother Abraham can answer that question with what I have to say.
Okay, I want to make an announcement real quick. We're down to 25 minutes of the actual 2-hour show.
If you have a question and you want to say something, please push number one. We have a lot of people on the call right now, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to speak. So could you please limit your comments and things to 1 minute, because we're going to go into overtime. I knew we were going to do this. So all of the people that are on the chat, that are in the chat line, if you want to be a part of the conversation, please dial area code 718-664-9551. Brother Abraham, you can go ahead and answer that. And also, I want to make an announcement, please, because I know how this conversation can get very heated, but I want to make sure that we understand that we're all doing this in love, and we have to respect each other, and we have to use effective communication. So please do everyone the courtesy where one person talks and the other person listens, and give everyone a chance to get their point out, because you're right, the whole country is going to be listening to this, possibly all over the world. So we don't want to present the image that we're arguing or that we're debating, but that we're sitting down and we're talking. So, Brother Abraham, you go ahead, and then we'll open it up for anybody else that has any questions or concerns.
Okay, Sister Sister Kavah was trying to ask a question, and I will address Brother Gary, but I didn't want to cut the sister off either.
Okay, Brother Gary made reference to the fact that being in this country and working and you're paying taxes, and those taxes go to the state. So I want to ask a question with that in mind, and our brother said that he had a Social Security card. As being under the United Nation of Yisrael and being a person that is a part of the Nation of Yisrael, do you, since if Kavah takes on her identity as who she is and her ethnicity as being Kavah Aminti Yashirel under the United Nation of Israel, would you all or do you all, and I'm working in this system as well, but yet I have my ethnicity and my dual nationalism as Kavah Aminti Yashirel, do you also or do you help that person set up a trust account or to take back what has been taken from them for Social Security purposes, all the money that's coming out of their checks is going to Social Security, in a trust account that I've actually have never given them consent to set up? Do you take authority over that trust account? So then that way now I can work, but yet I still have access to my earnings that is set aside, that the state is setting aside for me in a trust account that I have never asked for them to do. Do you set up something where we have access to that, so that way now I still have authority even over my earnings that I make?
That's an excellent question, my sister. And the way that that's handled is this way. First of all, let me back up two steps and talk about something that Brother Gary said, and then I'm going to answer your question. First and foremost, you have to understand that once you have the appropriate political status, and if we took the course of thought that Brother Gary laid out, nobody who'd have been would still be Clarence Holmes. And we know that's not the case. So we know that there may be some things that, he's on this line. Brother Gary's on this line to learn information that he may not currently know, just like the author.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, so that's the spirit in which I take it. So and if I say that, if I make the statement, brother, that's not correct, it's only because I can back up everybody. See, I tell my sons, I say, know everything you say. You don't have to say everything you know, but you better know everything you say. All right? See, because I'm going to tell you two things. One is that by international law, okay, that is recognized and supported by the United Nations and multiple international conventions and treaties, a government can be set up in exile from its land and still operate as a functioning government with all the rights and privileges and authorities of that government, even though they're currently exiled from their land. First. Secondly, there are two entities in the United States that can set up
a quote-unquote allodial title or allodium for land. A foreign country, that every consulate, every embassy, that's foreign land. It may be sitting in New York, or it may be sitting in L.A., whatever, but an embassy of a foreign nation is the foreign allodial property, sovereign territory of that country, even if that country is China, and that embassy sitting in the United States. That whatever that little plot of land is, that sovereign territory of that country, a foreign country can do that. The other entity that can do that is a religious order. No different than the Holy See or the Vatican. It's a sovereign nation in international law and has the ability to set up sovereign lands in anywhere or in the world that is, quote-unquote, their boundary, and it's sovereign, and it's in a allodium. All right, so a foreign nation and a religious order by United States federal law and supported by international law, that's fact. All right? So, now, I mean, and you and I can get together and I can show you all the ordinances in reference to that, but that's fact. Number three, we don't need them to acknowledge us because international law says, supported by the UN Charter and multiple treaties and conventions that the U.S. is a part of, that every people has the right of self-determination. And the only thing that you have to do in self-determination and to be a government in exile is to meet certain criteria. You have to have a charter. You have to have a constitution. You have to have a flag. You have to be involved in international relations, negotiations, or treaties with at least two other foreign entities. So there's a criteria. I mean, go just Google government in exile, and it just gives you bullet point. Boom, 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 boom. This is all you have to do. You know, they said you can have a standing militia. I mean, there's other things in there, but we're not trying to have a standing militia. But, you know, you can, if you meet these certain criteria, you are considered a government in exile. What you have to do is then you have to put people on notice, judicial notice and proclamation of what your status is, so that there's no confusion as you pursue the diplomatic relations. Okay, so that's that part. Sister Kava, in order, one more thing for Brother Gary. In order to operate in this country in a non-tax status, and we're not promoting not paying taxes, but by the IRS is a fraud, first and foremost, and people have to study and learn that on their own. That's not what we're here to discuss today. But if you have a foreign trust or a unincorporated business trust organization that is not under the state, see, because most of the time when you go to set up a trust, that trust agreement, the instrument that you set the trust up with is either going to be statutory, which means it's under the state, or it's non-statutory, which means that it can be a unincorporated business trust organization that is not under the state. It's registered as unincorporated and non-statutory. So now, that trust organization, especially if it's a foreign trust with a non-grantor foreign trust, it can be non-taxable. That you may have to pay taxes for the monies to go in, because if they were generated on U.S. soil, then they're taxable in the U.S. But once they enter the trust, they're non-taxable. It's no different than when you put your money in a 401k or any other kind of tax-deferred annuity. It can grow inside of that instrument tax-deferred, basically meaning that it can grow and grow and grow, and nothing gets taxed until you pull something out. Right. A foreign trust works the same way. So we understand that by answering Kavah's question, by us being a nation, and trust me, brother, we are in constant communication with the State Department. We're in constant communication with DOJ. We are getting ready to open up diplomatic talks with Ghana, Ethiopia, all right? So, I mean, see, we know who we are. We don't need anybody to tell us. We're just going forth and doing it. We let the United States know we're opening up diplomatic relationships with Ethiopia. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You, as a U.S. citizen, you can't do that. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a non-citizen American national. And you know what they say? Oh, because now that I know who I am, they can't say anything to me. I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. And you can't make me one by your own law. So we're going forward doing things that other people haven't done because we've done the work. We've done 7 years of studying legal international law so that we could go forth and give Yehuda Ben some paperwork that they spent 90 days trying to tear apart, whole teams of lawyers from the state, and they came back and said, you're free to go. We could not tear your paperwork apart. We tried because we don't want you to set a precedent. We have an administrative action against the state of Missouri for right now for over $500 million, and we're going to win. But you know what? We're not here to brag. We're just saying that we've done the work. And when that money comes to Brother Yehuda Ben, it will go into a foreign non-grantor trust set up under international law with both domestic and international trust accounts so that his money can move freely as a sovereign national. But bro, it's not nothing that the people of Europe in the royal families have been doing for years. It's just a matter that we didn't know anything about it. But the power of the internet, we can just pull it up and figure out how foreign trusts are set up. We can just go to the IRS website and pull up all the codes on foreign trusts and find out that, oh, it's different to be a grantor trust than a non-grantor trust, so now you need a trust company to set the trust up for you so that you aren't considered the grantor. See, it's awful. Trust me. We've covered every base, and we spent 7 years in development. We didn't just start this yesterday. 7 years of studying Cornell Law, studying Harvard Law, studying Stanford Law books, studying all of that before we came to the conclusion of how to do this right. So, I mean, I don't want – it's just a matter of come to a conference call with us, go to the website, go to – nationality and sovereignty, and just listen, we have hours and hours of audio. We have all kinds of documents. You can study to show thyself approved and then help us get it right if we don't have it right. But don't tell us that we don't have it right because we've done the work. And Noble Yehuda Ben is proof positive that at least on a state level, and now we have a federal corruption and racketeering case that we will file with the federal court next week to sue Missouri for what they've done because they were dead wrong. But we had to do the work before we could even bring the suit, and that's where we are right now.
All right.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Let me open up one more mic. Area code 312. Go ahead, you're on the air. Because we got people that have been waiting for a long time. Go ahead, area code 312.
About the panel.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
First of all, I just wanted to commend my brother for everything he went through with the situation. And also, I think this is a good dialogue from both sides, just getting information, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, playing the devil's advocate and just making sure everything is balanced out. But one thing my brother said, I believe it's Gary, was it worth it, you know, and things like that. And it brings me back, like I said, I don't know the details of everything as far as the laws and, you know, the different things that are required in order for something like this to be successful. Obviously, at some level, it has already been successful. And as you said, the brother is proof positive that the Most High is with it, because if the Most High was against it, you know, I don't believe that it would have gone down the way that it went down. With that said, when you look at history, whether you're looking at the Basel Declaration from Zionism, and this is not in any way to glorify, of course, what the Ashkenazis did in Israel, but we have to be, when you're talking about risk and is it worth it, I don't believe that there will be a modern state of Israel on the books today recognizable had men and women not taken a similar course and began things like this. There's always going to be risk, like you said, and the pros and cons and different things like that that you have to weigh. But these are the same processes and different things that these same men, Theodore Herzl and all these guys, went through. And they didn't have a nation. They didn't have a country when they began it. You know, they called it a movement. And that movement, you know, began, you know, with them desiring, you know, some of the same things. And from that, they went ahead and went forward and began to institute things that led to what we're looking at now over there. And as I said, I know the ins and outs of that, so this is not in any way to glorify that. But my point is, at some point, you have to begin begin the process of reconstruction. I mean, and weighing the pros and cons and all that, of course, to make sure everything is sound and balanced. But everybody, like he said, everybody in history took a similar course once they came to the knowledge of who they were, and they were bold enough to say, okay, now that we know who we are and it's gone beyond just lip service, what can we now do to become effective in what we say we believe? And if we say that we believe people of Yah, and that this is the will of Yah, and that Yah is behind us, then there should really be no bucking against, you know, what Yah shows to be His will. And that's all I really want to say.
All right, shalom, shalom. Anyone else have a comment?
I do.
Ahead.
This is Kanok. Just the first thing that I'd like to say is I want to also say to Brother Yehuda Ben, I'm glad that you stood up for yourself, and, you know, I'm glad that you were able to come out of that. What I would like to say, though, is that, you know, I would like to for you to look at is that what probably happened in reality, more so than the fact that you had the paperwork, is they just figured that, okay, we don't really have anything on you. And they were like, we're going through, because you have to understand that for the State Department, anytime that they pull a lawyer or a district attorney or anything to look at paperwork, then somebody's getting clocked hours for that. And so at some point they have to say, okay, we have a person, and then this person, and then we have five lawyers and groups of lawyers, and these lawyers are costing this amount of money and this amount of money and this amount of money to tear apart this paperwork and whatever. In reality, you know, we only have him on a charge which probably can't even be substantiated in real court against, you know, with some police officers that probably were racially profiling. And that's not to take anything away from the argument or the ideas that you guys are presenting. I do want to say this to the audience. There's a book that everybody wants to get. It's called How to Start Your Own Country. It's by Erwin Strauss. And it's about 175 pages, and it's from somebody who has successfully started their own country. When I say started their own country, it's off the guy started off of the coast of something. He found some land and got on the land and declared himself, you know, sovereign. And so he goes through the whole book and talks about the different ways that people are looking for starting their own country. And there's five approaches. The first approach is traditional sovereignty, which is where basically you declare yourself sovereign and you have land. The difference with traditional sovereignty is that you have to actually be ready to protect yourself. That means that you take over something, but then you have to be ready to protect yourself with an army if you need to, should somebody try to contest your ownership. There's another approach, which is called ship under the flag of convenience. There's another one called litigation. There's another one called out of sight, out of mind, where you just basically just drop off the map and just figure out how to survive. And then there's another approach called the model country. The ones that I see that would be most effective for Israel as a group of people is probably the model country and litigation, which is what it looks like the way that you guys are going about it is through litigation. However, the model country may be something that also needs to be looked at as a group of people, because we have a lot of people in Israel. And remember, regardless of, we are still spending almost a trillion dollars worth of income in America, still, regardless of whether we call ourselves slaves, employees, and whatever. And there is a way for us to finance ourselves into, you know, another level of security that we don't have as a people now. And I say that to say that we have Chinatown in San Francisco, which is a couple hours from me. It's the oldest settlement of anything in America that's been going on. Now, Chinatown, of course, is not a fully sovereign nation, but I can tell you this point. Chinatown is so entrenched that the police officers that are in Chinatown are all Chinese, because everybody there speaks Chinese. If an officer from,
quote unquote, the United States, went in there to talk to people, unless he spoke Chinese, there's nobody that's going to talk to him. And they have their own economical system. They have their own banks. You know, there's no, the police don't rush up into Chinatown. In fact, they're told that if you go too far in there and those people get their hands on you, there's not really anything that we can do for you, because if we go in there, we can't find you, because it's a very large place. So what I'm saying is that in process of while we're doing the paperwork, we still have hundreds of families in Israel who are struggling, starving, can't find food to eat, you know, getting kicked out of houses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know all those things. And through collective economics, while this other process is going on, will start to give us the things that we need, because if we do become sovereign, as you know, as we're talking about the term, what's going to happen is, who's going to build the houses? Who's going to grow the food? Who's going to make the clothes? Who's going to set up the plants? You know, I'm in Sacramento. I live 2 minutes walking distance, three blocks, where Mexicans have a manufacturing plant and they manufacture mattresses from scratch. They have all the business just about in all my neighborhood and in all across the Sacramento city. If anybody wants a mattress, they come to them. They take the mattresses, they've got the fabric, they've got the thread, they've got the pads, they've got everything. So they started, they do it from beginning to end. Now, while we're going through these other processes to deal with the political, there's nothing stopping us from getting the skills to set up manufacturing. Because if we do move to somewhere else on this planet and have another land, we need to have skills. And, you know, I just haven't heard that part be addressed to where we can start to have more control over our destiny. And last but not least, I'd like to just read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, which says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." I just want to also say that, you know, you may want to give, because we are on the phone with a bunch of people probably all over the world, and you never know who's on the call. You want to give a disclaimer, because you said something about foreign grantor trusts and things of that nature. You don't want to seem as if you're telling people to take money and put it into a trust outside of America, because, and I don't know if you're saying that, and I don't think you are, at least from my research, it doesn't sound like you are, but, you know, that is illegal, and, you know, there's repercussions behind that. But I applaud you, brothers, and I'm glad that you guys are studying the law. It is true. The law can give us some things, but it can't give us everything, because we still have to have skills in which to be able to build a nation. And that's the thing that they took from us also, as well as our legal rights, is they took our ability by dumbing us down to where we have no skills to actually build anything should we find ourselves even in the middle of Utah on 200 acres. You know, we'd be hard-pressed to be able to grow food, be able to manufacture houses, be able to manufacture clothes, shoes, as well as, you know, do the things that needs to be done in order for a city to be built. So that's all that I had to say. And I, you know, applaud you guys again, and I look forward to hearing more from you.
Hallelujah. In reference to that, let me say this disclaimer that this is not legal or financial advice. I am not a legal or financial advisor, and this is for educational and entertainment purposes only.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Very good. Also, we have 1 minute and 48. Hold on 1 minute, please. We have 1 minute and 48 seconds left. We're about to go into overtime. So anyone that's in the chat room that wants to be a part of this overtime, please call in area code 718-664-9551. So the panel is open, so you guys can go ahead, whoever's next.
Sister Yaina.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to know, everybody that's on this line, what God are you all serving?
I serve the Almighty. It's just the same creator
that brought our people out of Egypt. And yet, it's just the same argument that was given before Moshe as the Almighty sent him forth on his mission. So if we're mindful of the word of God, everything that we're going through has already been before. And if we go back and we're listening to our words, it's the same arguments, the same words that went up against
Moshe. That's unfair, sister. That's unfair. Because a person questions what you know, that does not mean that they don't believe God. Now, let's keep it real, though. No, let's keep it real, because that type of...
When you were talking, I'm saying what I'm listening. I'm addressing to what my ears are hearing. And that is, it's the same argument that went up against Moshe when Yah sent him forth to bring us out. So we talk about all the things I heard that we're putting... It's a possibility, I'll put it that way, but I didn't hear the word possibility. But I'm saying a possibility that we might be putting our people in harm's way. Well, let me ask you this. Every time I turn on the news every day, somebody been shot by the police 40 times because he was reaching for a gun. Our children are laying like they're dying like dogs out here in the street. We see our people being set out, standing in lines around the corner for food stamps. Yeah, what possible harm could we be putting our people in? You see, because we're asking our people to go back and trust Yah, go return back to Yah, according to Deuteronomy 30, when you and your children turn back to me and do all that I have commanded of you to do. We keep trying to stand on our own strength, but the Almighty have already let it be known that no man can deliver us, none. Only He can do that. And He told us to trust. He gave us everything we need. Deliver thyself, O nation not desired, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon us. Instead of us, there's a website. Sister Yaina got a website, the United Nation of Israel. And the only reason why that title is there is because we are a nation in exile. And so, therefore, we're asking all of our people globally to come back as a nation, doing exactly what Yah told us to do. And if you go to the website, you'll see the governmental structure that's there. Whatever your expertise is, you can bring it forth. Put your little piece of puzzle on the table. Say, this is what I got. Where can I fit in? What can I do? Because everyone that has come forth so far, they came in with the same spirit. What can I do? Where do I fit in? What can I do to help move this process forward? But we come in as individuals. We come in with different mindsets. We come in with different organizations, and we never reach the understanding of nations. So therefore, until we learn to trust Yah, that's the same Creator that bought Israel, that made a covenant with Israel from the beginning, that same Creator that bought millions up out of Egypt before with not one arrow being fired, not one spear being thrown, but He brought them up out of Egypt. And as it says in His word, it will no longer be said that Yah liveth to bought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt, but Yah liveth to bought the seed of the children of Israel up out of the land of the north. When are we going to start trusting Yah, Israel? I keep hearing all the things that this man can do, what law he's got. What about Yah? Where is Yah in all this?
Right.
Okay.
Where is Yah?
Well, I apologize. I thought you were done, my bad. No, I was just going to say quickly is that, you know, we're not talking about getting up and leaving Egypt. I know how to survive in the wilderness and eat off manna. I mean, in those days, if we're going to use that as the rhetorical foundation to talk about this, they didn't ask Pharaoh for anything. They didn't talk to them. They didn't go to the State Department. They didn't do anything. They sent Moses to tell him, let my people go, and then the country got destroyed. He told them to leave, and they left. And they just went out into the wilderness, and they didn't take anything with them. If I'm familiar with the story, so I don't know that that's what's being because we're talking about taking control of already existing assets that are still in America as part of America, Egypt, and trying to control those things. We're not saying let's go off into the wilderness.
My brother, I'm glad you said that so I can give some clarity. We have not asked for anything. We've gone in, putting our paperwork in, telling them that we are Israel and we no longer choose to be 14th Amendment citizens. We are dual nationalists and we're stating our case. We're not asking them for anything.
Right.
And that's the only reason why Yehuda Ben got out. If he had gone, if we had done anything different, he still would be in jail right now. As Brother Abraham asked, I mean, stated earlier, they told us that they had everywhere, every department we went to serve that paperwork, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, we don't mean to be giving you a hard time, but we've never seen anything like this before. And the word says they're absolutely right because they have never seen a nation being reborn, and that's what's happening right now. Israel is being reborn. The Almighty Sister, you think I bring forth and not deliver? So you think
right,
we're not
asking. Right, but what I'm saying still is that the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were no longer even dependent. They were away from the country. They were in the wilderness, meaning that if there was no food there for them, they didn't eat. They had to wait for manna to come. If there was, you know, we're talking about two different systems and two different things. That may have been what happened then, but we're not. That's not what's happening now. The situation
is the same thing that's happening now. If we are mindful of the word, with all thy getting, get an understanding. If we're mindful of the word, the children of Israel, that was not no overnight ordeal. First of all. And secondly, yes, they had to go through some things while they were still in Egypt. That's why they wanted to kill Moses on a couple of occasions, because then it wasn't like they thought it was going to be. They even accused Moses, why have you done this thing against us? You're making us work harder. Now we got to go find our own straw. So once we understand that it was a process in Egypt, just like it's a process now. We've got 6 years to go, 6 years. And in that 6 years, we're going to see a whole lot of substance come through. We're going to see a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, because the Almighty never told us that we was going to escape it. He told us we was going to go through it. But he told us that to fear not, for we shall be saved out of it. In Genesis, 400 years, and afterwards, I'm going to judge the nation, and afterwards I'm going to bring them out with great substance. So the Almighty never told us that we weren't going to go through it. He just told us that he will be our protection. We got to know the word of our God. We got to know
our God. So if he's the protection,
God,
then why do we need paperwork?
Hallelujah. Because that's what the government say we need, brother.
Absolutely.
But I'm talking about what does Yah say that we need? Does he say that we need to get recognition of rights or nationalities from anybody, or does he say that you just need to do my law and statutes and judgments, and then everything else will fall into place for you?
I just quote a scripture, gather yourselves together, O nation not desired. The Almighty says, come up out of her, my people, so that you don't partake of her punishment and her plagues.
Right.
Almighty said, so we got to know the word of Yah. He never told Israel, just sit down and you don't have to do nothing. I'm going to do everything. Never.
I'm a farmer, never. So I don't sit around doing nothing.
Hey, Brother Abraham, are you still on the line?
Okay, I'm right here, yes.
Brother Abraham,
I'm
sorry.
Brother
Abraham, I just wanted to say this to you, sir, that most definitely. We definitely have to connect. I will definitely try to get your information from Sister Yaina. I see where you're going, and I understand where you're going. I really take a back one because I don't readily agree with something. All of a sudden now I don't believe the Most High. I've been believing the Most High and walking with the Most High for 30 years. I've seen him deliver me out of the bowels of Babylonian incarceration as well. And I don't appreciate the fact that I'm going to be bullied spiritually because of using scripture, because of the fact that I question and ask questions. So that's why I'm directing this to you, because I appreciate what you're doing. And I still say this at the end, because in the final analysis, I will, if this movement is from what you've informed me and the stuff that I hope that I'm going to read and the direction that you're going, I see where it's going. But I wouldn't know that if I didn't ask, and that's why I come out and inquire. And, yes, you do have to count the cost. That's all understood, and it has to be caught. But the fact of the matter is that when the sound analysis, when we get to that point, are you saying leaving Egypt, as you said? Definitely. That has to be the work of the Most High, because it's real simple. What you said in the final analysis of what gives us absolute sovereignty is means a country in exile. Well, the country we're in exile, somebody now has possessions of that land. And in order for you to be recognized as that status, that people who now have possession of that land have to acknowledge that you're in exile from that land. And we know without Yahawashah or the Mashiach, for those who don't believe he's the Mashiach, and without him, that's not going to happen. And that's,
hallelujah.
That's what the scripture is talking about. So please,
yes,
again, because there are other people out there listening. They want to,
yes,
know. We understand the scriptures. We don't call on this show haphazardly. We just want to, like, we just dodos and we just want to hear. We read the scriptures too. I've been reading it for 30 years of my life. We understand the scriptures. I understand the prophecies, but I also want to know where you're going. Because if I know where you're going, then I can follow.
This is Adonia. I'd like to say something, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
We got, what this is about is, it's not a revolution, it's an evolution. We're trying to bring back the restoration of the peoples that came here on them boats. We're trying to bring them back to life. The opportunity for us with the Most High, the Almighty, is orchestrating all of this. And we got to understand that. And we got to trust in him. You understand? He's going to show us which way we should go. Our only job is to come together as a nation. If we do if we do that, it's all right to have rebuttal and everything like that, because we're going to have that coming from the enemy. We're going to fight tooth and nail. You understand? We coming back to the Almighty. He didn't leave us. We got to show the Almighty, you understand, that we trying to come back. You understand? And this is the only way for us to come back is that we start maintaining and taking care of one another. You understand? We need a financial institute. This will solve many of those problems that we think that we need. You understand? And so if we get together and get a financial institute, forget about that other brother, because you might not never see him. Just bring your 10% to the treasury. Yeah, you understand? We'll pick and choose those that put their money involved. We'll get a chance to choose what project that we use. Or what we gonna do? We might have enough money. If we can get enough people involved, we might have enough money to start open up many projects. You understand? We just got to trust in the Almighty, man. This was a hell of an accomplishment that we did, that brother went through.
Yes, sir.
That let us. That should show us that the Almighty is with us. You understand? It could have just easily went the other way. They was trying to get him to sign some more papers. Ain't that something? They say they ain't had nothing on them, but if you sign these papers, what kind of... Man, we got to try to get our own stuff going on. It says that we must separate ourselves. How are we going to do that? And I relinquish the mic.
Okay,
can I say something real quick? I just want to make an announcement, because this is good and it's getting heated. But we have other people on the panel as well. Brother Moshe, he hasn't said anything. Brother Moshe, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes. Thank you, my beloved sister, and I'm so excited to look forward to meeting you finally this Friday. I want to say that that we tend to forget that the Almighty Yah is very jealous.
Mm.
And when you try to trump something that Yah did, I'll give you an example. Go talk to Martin Luther King children. Go talk to Malcolm X children. Go talk to the entire Black Panthers children. All of them are dead. And they were trying to get blacks to unite. But Yah did this. He's very jealous. But we don't believe that. We think we're smarter than the Almighty, and he's continuing to prove to us he's almighty and he's jealous. See, I believe the Ten Commandments when he say he's jealous. I believe that. I hear ya.
Hey.
And when you say, I heard the brother say we need to start a treasury. You start a treasury. I've never seen a dollar bill with a black man's face on it. You're still getting your money from your enemy. Still. Oprah Winfrey has enough money to do what we need to have done right now. She has enough to do it. But why isn't y'all allowing these people to do that? Because they don't know that did it.
Oh, man.
And once we realize as a nation that y'all did this, and we should patiently wait on him to lead and guide us into the instructions on how to make it right. But until then, brothers, I wish you all a bit of shalom, and I pray that everybody that lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, praise y'all, you will all show up, because I'll be doing a very powerful lesson on this topic using scripture that Yah did this. And all the brothers before us that tried to trump what he did, go talk to their children throughout history. They're dead.
My glory will he not give to another.
No evil has come into the city unless Yah did it. None. Be careful, brothers and sisters. Be very careful. The Malach of Yah has spoken. I have warned you all. Be careful. Don't make our Almighty Yah jealous even more. He said, my people have provoked me to anger. I believe him. Shalom, shalom. And I'll see you all in Cincinnati this Saturday. Shalom.
Wow. Well,
shalom, my brother.
I got a question for you. Okay, it's my turn. I just want to say some things because I've listened and I've listened and I've listened. And, again, there are always controversy within Israel because you have a group that says, why now? You have a group that says, why not now? Then you have a group that says, well, you putting, you know, why do it now? We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have this, that, and the other. And then you have a woman that says, whose report are you going to believe? I mean, you know, it is, I have heard people say that all we have to do is wait on Yah. Yah going to come and get us. Yahweh Shah going to come and get us. He going to take us back to the land. We don't have to do nothing but just be Hebrew Israelites and teach everybody their culture. My problem with that is when you go through the scriptures, and like Brother Gary said, we're not unlearned people. We're pastors. We're former pastors of Christian churches. We've come out of Christianity. So we know the stories from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation. We know the stories. We're not novice. We know what we're talking about. When you research the scriptures and you go through the scriptures when we were a nation, when we were exiled, when our land was occupied, all of the different scenarios that we were in, he has always, and I say this again, he has always used the participation of men in order to do whatever needs to be done so that his will can be done. The problem what I see is that when you talk about timing, everybody understands timing. The timing dictates whether or not it's of Yah. Because as Yah allows things to progress and as Yah allows things to be done, it's a clear indication that it's time. The issue that I have with this young man is 28 years. He's 28 years old. 28 years old, if I'm not mistaken, with a wife and kids. And this young man stood in front of Goliath and stood on what he believed in, on his principle. We're not to take that lightly. That was not paperwork that was shuffled to the side and they just decided not to pay the lawyers because of the money they were losing. That was not what that was. That was a clear victory. Now, y'all stepped in and said, it's time that my people, because knowledge is coming from Yah.
Oh.
And the knowledge that we're getting now comes from Yah. It doesn't come, nobody sat down at the computer and said, I'm going to write up motions, I'm going to write up writs, I'm going to write up whatever it is was written up. It has to be knowledge that comes from the Most High. Do we need to grow food? Yes, we need to learn how to be farmers. Do we need agricultural education? Of course we need it. But at the end of the day, when we stand up
Because when I found out who I was proud of who I was.
Hallelujah.
I'm so tired of these people saying that they serve the Elohim of the Elohim, the universal creatorial Elohim that runs it all. There is no skepticism in him. There is no fear in him. There is no hesitation in him. And the people that I surround myself with are the people when he says, I need you to do, they get up and they do. We don't question what it's going to look like. We don't question how it's going to affect anybody. We just move, and it's through obedience that these things are being done. We'll, all the other stuff, we'll get to the other stuff when the time comes. But in
obedience,
whether it's with Yah or Yahweh Shai, obedience is better than sacrifice. We've got to stop talking and start moving. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yes. And I want to piggyback off of what Sister Yaina was saying. This is a move of faith and trust in the Most High Yahweh. Remember what Moshe said to the Most High when the Most High met him in the burning bush and he told him what he wanted him to do. He first began to look at the inadequacies in himself and talked about how he was unable to even speak to Pharaoh, that he had a speech impediment. He couldn't even hold a conversation with him. That's the, one of the first things he told him. I can't talk. Well, no problem. I'm going to send Aaron. I'm going to send your brother with you. He'll talk for you, but I still want you to go. So we have those that are in the nation that are willing to stand up and speak. But then the Most High have already have gotten those together that's going to help lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are messianic, I'm messianic as well. I'm going to say this to you. The scripture tells us clearly that the fearful and unbelieving, we cannot walk out this thing in fear, because no matter what you think or what you say, we're still, according to the naked eye, we are still at a disadvantage to our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, Kavah? We don't have no weapons in the natural. Now, I'm talking natural now for those who don't understand the realm of the Ruach. Looking at us naturally, we don't have weapons. We can't stand up and fight and win against our enemies because we don't have missiles. We don't have airplanes. We don't even have the technology that they have right now that they can kill you while you're in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting up in your house, materials that weaponry that they can look through the walls.
Unmanned
drones.
They can
destroy you while you're sitting at your table. Electronic ways of coming to you and doing things to you to harm you electronically. So what are we going to do? Like Sister Yaina say, are we going to be fearful and unbelieving? Emma talked about this. I understand what she meant. She's talking about who do you serve? Not saying that you don't serve Yahweh, but are you willing to stand up and acknowledge that is my Elohim? And because serve Yahweh, I'm going to believe Yahweh. Yes, everything that we need in a nation, Yahweh is putting it together. Like my brother Kanok from Sacramento said, those that need, we got to have skills to do this and do that. Well, my brother, I praise Yah for you because you have an eye and to see that which is lacking even in that area. We need manufacturers. Then our brother Kanok can come in and say, well, I'm going to lead and show the people how to put together things to manufacture. We need this over here. We need that over there. Then we got our brother Abraham, who has been led to put together the United Nation of Yisrael, making sure that we all get our ethnicity and everything is put on the books of our enemies so they'll know we are acknowledging who we are. We're coming together. You cannot stop us. I don't care how many weapons you got. You will not be able to stop this. Because this is of the mighty Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
And I refuse. I'm going to say this. I refuse. As the daughter of the Elohim,
I don't care what it looks like in the natural. Because everything that we're doing in the natural has spiritual ramifications. So we're moving according to the spirit of Yahweh as we're moving in the natural. Don't you know it's already done in the realm of the Ruach? The Malachims have been lined up. Lined up, taking their position for the nation of Yahshua. They are here for us. But if we continue to talk about, oh, what about this and oh, what about that, guess what? Your heart is fearful and unbelieving, and you are bringing an evil report. And your report will stand before the mighty Yahweh as evil and unbelieving. So it's about what are we going to do to continue to allow our nation to come together. I applaud my brother Abraham and my brother Noble. I applaud what he did. And you know what, brother Abraham? Kavah will be calling you because I'm going to get my paperwork together and I'm going to get my stuff together on the books. Because what you did was powerful.
That's what I said.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is Abraham, and, you know, I've been listening intently, and I want to say two things. First and foremost, Brother Gary, I don't know if you're talking about me or not, as far as, you know, feeling kind of spiritually bullied. And if I,
no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So don't confuse it as being that. No, it's not. As a matter of fact,
that's why I made
specifically. I addressed you and said I appreciate it. I appreciate it, but what just took place, man, that's not cool. You got people on the line. They need to know. I ask you information, and you cannot accuse a person of being fearful because they ask information. They want to get understanding because they have people. Who knows that basically, it's like I said, the people following, you don't know who people who I have access to or people on the line who have access to. We're not asking because we're non-believing. We want to get understanding. So, hey, we can get along with it. Hey, this is what the Most High is doing. Let's get in the midst of it. I want to know.
Hallelujah. So my point was just this. I mean, you know, because we're passionate people, and we're passionate for a reason, because y'all put that spirit in us. But we're also loving and compassionate people. I mean, who else do you know to be under the thumb of oppression for 400 years, and we more worried about how we're going to take care of the white people than we are taking care of ourselves? Because that's a spirit of compassion that the Most High has put in us. So I want to say this. I mean, you know, for the record, I love everybody. I am passionate, and sometimes, you know, I'm still, the Yah still working on me, because I look at it as defending Yah, so therefore I get a little bit, you know, intense. But my heart is that of a servant, and my heart is that of, you know, anybody who knows me know that they can call me and we can stay on the phone all day long. Ask Noble Yehuda Ben. He called me all, even every 20 minutes. Abraham, I'm right here in the paperwork. What does this mean? Abraham, and did I ever say, yo, man, come on, don't call me no more? I would say, bro, you call me as many times as you need until you understand it. It wasn't the paperwork. It was his understanding of his authority in Yah that brought him through. The paperwork was just administrative. But it was the knowledge. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it was just the paperwork, they wouldn't have asked him at the very end when he copped to a lesser charge. They wanted to know at the last minute, because you think you're going to be free now, will you go ahead and cop to a misdemeanor time served? After the man just told you he didn't have no evidence against you. But you may not really have understood, let me see if I can trick you one more time. So it's not about, he didn't have no paperwork with him, but he had the knowledge of the information. So brother, I applaud the fact that you want to know and understand. And you and I, we're going to have a lot of fun together, because I will be a better person because of you. And I'm willing to submit myself to you to serve you in any way that I can.
Likewise. And I feel that. I feel that. I appreciate
Hallelujah.
That. Likewise.
Hallelujah. All right. Secondly, Sister Kavah, I love your passion and I love your fire. And I will serve you as well in any way that I can, because you ladies and Yaina, you know, you ladies are true. I mean, you're not just daughters of Zion. I mean, you qualify as judges, warrior princesses, and queens. Mm-hmm. because you're standing up in the midst of all these males and all these egos, and you bring forth the fire, and I give Yah all the honor and glory and praise for that spirit that He's placed in both of you ladies, and you guys make a wonderful co-host team. And I pray Yah that He continues to bless this show, and that it continues to move forward.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to turn. Yah's doing a new thing in me, and I'm just a big old teddy bear now. I mean, I get a little fiery, but really, I'm just soft. I'm just mush right this minute. I just want to love up on everybody. So can we turn the spirit to a spirit of love and compassion, and tell each other how much we love each other before we end the show?
Of course.
Yeah, I love y'all. I'm not trying to be mean or nothing. I mean, that is the passion in me, but especially when it comes to the things of Yahweh, when we're trying to do things and move forward and move by the spirit of Yah, and if it seems as if something's trying to come against what Yah is doing, then I do get a little stirred up, but it wasn't nothing to be mean to my brothers or nothing like that. That's just me. I'm very passionate. I love Yah. Brother Gary, know I love him. Brother Gary,
Almost, you know
I love you. And like you said before, he said, me and Sister Kavai, we go, we'll be on the phone, we go toe to toe. I mean, we have gone toe to toe so many times that we hung up the phone on each other before, right in the face, blah! And then we call back, oh, I'm sorry. So
hallelujah.
I love
hallelujah.
My brothers and my sisters, and I'm just passionate about what Yah is doing and what I see He's doing. And I just want us to continue to move forward. And it's not that I'm angry with anyone. I hate the fact when Hashatan steps in and try to grip the hearts of our men and our women to cause you to be paralyzed to the point where you can't even move at the voice of the Almighty. And then you can't even recognize the spirit of the Almighty that is moving. So that's where my fire comes from. It's not the person. I'm looking at the spirit behind it, whether you recognize the spirit that's on you or not. So that's all I want to say. Oh, but I love y'all, and thank y'all for being a part of this show. This show would not be what it is without our brothers, and I want you to know with all of my heart, I love y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Sister,
and
also, I just wanted to say that
Sister Hedora, and I just want to tell everyone, for most of the part, some of you know me, some of you don't. And those that do know me know that I'm very passionate. First of all, I want to apologize to anyone that I might that may feel that I've hurt their feelings, whatever. Please, with all honesty in my heart, that is not my position, because my passion is I love Israel. I love Yah. And I love our people. But you know what? I love our babies too. And we as elders, and we're that generation, we have got to stop passing this legacy of death on to our children. So therefore, in going back and doing what Yah is telling us to do, there has never been a majority. Yah has always used a minority, always. And as it was when He spoke with Gideon's army, He told them, those who just got married, send them home. Those that are afraid, send them home, you see. He told when they went to spy out the land, you know, it was only two that came back with a favorable report. Everybody else was shaking in their boots. So the Almighty allowed them to die out in the wilderness. So once again, this our time of deliverance is up on us once more. And you know what? This thing is not going to happen by itself. It's going to happen with those that are attentive to the voice of Yah and that are willing to move when He says time to move. So, again, please let me apologize to anyone and everyone if I've hurt you, because that's not my intent. My intent is to say, let's stand up, Israel, for once. We serve the Most High Yah, the highest one on earth, and yet the Almighty said we have profaned Him wherever we have gone. So, once again, we're supposed to be the glory of Yah. I'm saying let us operate in His glory and not in the fear of man. And with that, I'm going to relinquish the mic and say shalom to all.
Amen.
Shalom.
Okay,
Shalom.
Before we go any further, I guess the girls got to take the turn. Because I'm like Kavai. My thing is we have a couple millionaires on the line. And if we don't have our money is coming soon. And I just believe that, you know, when I was in the church, I gave hundreds of thousands, and I'll say it again, hundreds of thousands of dollars in tithes and offerings and money. And, you know, we need funds. And it's just simple as that. I mean, you know, we need funds. You know, as passionate as we are, we can all be passionate. But at the end of the day, we need dollars to get done what we need to do. And I just believe that my Elohim is the only, he is the only one that can get this done. I've seen him do some great things in my life. I've seen him bring me through some great things. I've seen the impossible. When I tell you the impossible, if he ever allows me to give my testimony, he's done the impossible in my life. So when I come at you the way I do, it's not to offend anyone. I just know that if he says it, irregardless to what it looks like, irregardless to what we understand it to be, he tells you to do it. Even though everybody around you says, I don't know why you're doing it, you're looking crazy, do it anyway. Because only in the breaking of our will, only in the breaking of our attitudes, and only in the breaking of our egos, that through humility he breeds leaders. And we have to be humbled enough to be able to say, I'm going to step out of it, not my will, but thy will be done, which means that means I'm going to step out of the way and let you do what it is you do, because all he wants to do is show to his people, I got this. When we talk about an army, somebody says something about an army, and I'm sitting here listening like, really? They say something, we don't have an army. Who told you we didn't have an army? We've got one of the greatest armies that have ever existed in the universe.
Yes.
There are chariots right now that are up in the atmosphere waiting for the command of God to come forth on our behalf. We've got the we have everything we need. I'm like Sister Iman, all we need is a few men and women that are willing to say, I'll go if don't nobody else go. And that's all we're trying to say. And you do need information, and we do need to educate, and we do need to fulfill that part of it. But when we talk about what we have everything we need.
Yeah.
Everything we need, we have. Whose report are you going to believe? Because I'm going with Yah. Because I know what he's done for me in my life. I know, telling you, I've seen the impossible. I'm living it right now, the impossible done. And if he tells me, Yaina, I need you to get up and I need you to go stand on that corner next week because somebody's coming by that corner that's going to hand you a check. I'm going to be standing out there. Now, to some people, they feel like the girl has lost her mind. She done went crazy. I'm going to the corner.
Yes.
Because that's how much I believe in. And it don't have to look right. And it don't have to make sense. All it has to do is you just have to know you hear from the voice of God. So I'm done with that part of it. And I think area code 916 wants to say something. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that also, we all get passionate. But it is our job to come together and reason together. And at the same time, we do have to understand that, you know, we are dealing with the creator of all things. And when he does do things, as somebody said about doing things through men or making sure that men do what they're supposed to do, he does choose very wisely who he chooses to be able to do things. But at the same time, I don't want us to get into the situation to where we're using a lot of the scriptures that talk about leaving Egypt and things like that and what we're doing now, but we don't want to tell the story like Prince of Egypt. That's based on a true story, but then at the same time, it's not the same as the story. And so what I'm trying to say by saying that is because, you know, the children of Israel, they left Egypt, and also, you know, they were getting ready to go over there because it's a very short walk to go from Egypt to Israel, but they ended up going for 40 years another way. And who better but Moses, because he was one of the royal priesthood in Egypt, and he knew the territory and the land, which is, you know, and I'm not saying that it was, you know, all him, But there was already a foundation of some certain types of knowledge that gave him a start ahead of time to be able to take them out. Because remember, they had Pharaoh's army chasing them on the way out too. So they were able to get away from them because he had been through all of these areas already through his training in Egypt. So that's all that I'm saying is that we have to have, there's going to, wherever it's going to happen, they have to have people that know the territory as we get ready to go. And, you know, I see these brothers coming together on the legal aspect. There's all kinds of different territories that we're going to have to navigate through to get out of this. It's not just going to be as simple as one aspect, because your body, you've got all kinds of different things that are working together, and we are a body. So you got, you know, different thousand types of systems that are all working together just for you to be able to smile. So we have to coordinate all of those things to work together in unity, and then that's when we're going to achieve the power to just leave, and that's it. Because our enemies in their families, they, when they decide to do something, if they get stopped by the police, certain things go on, and they make certain phone calls, and people will be out of jail whether they have anything or not, because they have certain things in place that make them very, 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 very powerful. And I'm not saying that we don't have them, but what I'm saying is that they've achieved those things, and through keeping the law, statutes, judgments, and commandments, we can achieve that power to where they'd be like, I'm going to mess with these people. I'm just going to leave these people. Let's just leave these people alone.
Hallelujah.
And that's what I'm talking about. So whether it's on an agricultural aspect or whether it's on an educational aspect, because Daniel was in captivity and he was able to stand in front of the king and interpret his dreams because he learned from books. So there's all kinds of different levels that we have to get very powerful, and that's what's going to be able to just get us to the point to where they're not going to mess with us. In fact, they're going to be calling us to say, I want you to run my government. Because you guys got it all together, and we don't.
That's powerful.
So, you know, that's what
powerful.
I wanted to say on the end. And, you know, I love you guys, and thank you for allowing me to come to the panel. I'm very proud to be here.
Okay, we got about 20 minutes left, so if everybody want to say something,
Sister
please
Yana?
Go ahead. And, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were spreading the love. You didn't give me an opportunity to spread the love.
I'm going to let you spread the love, brother. I promise you, I'm going to let you spread the love before you leave. We have some people on the line that if you want to push one, if you want to say something, we got a few people on the line that haven't said anything and they're just listening. So if you want to say something, because we just want you all to know we love everybody, and we're doing this because we love our people, and we're passionate because we love you, and you know, we're not fighting because we love you. So if you want to say something, go ahead. And I'm going to let Brother Gary tell us. He want to get mushy. So go ahead, Brother Gary. Get mushy.
You know, when Brother Abraham came on the line, I'm just going to share the conversation here, in a conversation between I and the Most High. When he came on the line, Sister Kavan knows I'm just as passionate as the next person. And, you know, I'm one of those persons because I want to know things. And when Brother Abraham started speaking, I had written down like a series of questions I was going to ask him. And after he finished speaking and Brother Noble spoke, I just felt that unction, put the paper to the side, talk to the brother. You can trust him. Engage him in a dialogue and a conversation so others out there who are just as inquisitive and wanting to understand where they are going with this so that they might be educated. And when he began to speak, I sensed, okay, I feel that quickening in my spirit that, yeah, I can engage him in a conversation. He's not going to get offended with me. When I ask a question, he's going to give me information. Just like as he spoke about Brother Noble, how Brother Noble, he said it was that knowledge. Well, Brother Noble, obviously from the conversation that I picked up from you, from my observation here, is that he got a lot of that knowledge from you. So that was really my intent, was to pull that knowledge out so we could hear it and the people on the line could hear it. But I think we have to really, if we love each other, even when we talk about prophets, the scripture talks about if one prophet is speaking, the other prophet, you know, we can hold what he has to say. It's about self-control and temperament, because really, if we're loving each other, we have to know, like the brother said, we all have a part to play in this. And I don't want to miss out on any of it, because I love everybody on this line. I am so moved in my spirit right now because of what is taking place and how this is resolved itself, even like it did last week. And that shows that the Most High is right in the midst of it, because the bottom line is that the Mashiach that I serve, he says simply this: men ain't going to know how much that you are my disciples based upon your knowledge and your information. He said, I'm going to know, they're going to know that you're my disciples because you have love one to another. And so sometimes, you know, in that sense of saying that, hey, you know, I appreciate this. Like Sister Kavai told you, she wasn't playing. And so Sister Kavai evidently trusts me enough to know that my motivation is not to come against somebody, not to cause confusion and dissension, and definitely not to draw back in perdition out of fear. But believe me, my sister knows that, hey, I just want to know. Because when I get involved in something, I give my everything to it. Everything. You know, everybody's giving their testimony of what they've been through. Believe me, I know there's some sisters and brothers on this line who can tell you about some things and show them the Most High move on their behalf. And Brother Noble got to see the glory of the Most High operate on his behalf. But like a brother said, the prophet who spoke, he was true. And all he was saying basically is that in all you're doing, make sure we remember that he's in control, that he's orchestrating everything. That's why we can take a former pastor, a female pastor for the most part, and come into the Hebrew Israelite community, and we embrace you and love you, and we don't question that. And of all people, we know we're in an overtop patriarchal entity when we're talking about Hebrew Israelites. But we love you because we sense the spirit of Yah in you. And we submit and subject ourselves to that spirit in you. That's what love does. Love submits itself to one another. And I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. I really, really do. And I got a lot of information. I'm sure the people on the line, they got well educated today, because I've moved in circles amongst people who are questioning about the sovereignty thing. And they want to know, what is this is? What is it about? And I'm like, well, you know what? I got another opportunity today. I'm just going to ask all the questions I can, because I want to know. I say, Brother Abraham, what you said, you spoke prophetically. Oh, what you just said, I saw it in my spirit before you spoke it. I'm going to hook up with this brother. We're going to have a good time. So all praise due to the Most High. Glory, all glory and honor to the Most High. I don't want to take none of it. I'm none of it. Scripture says sometimes you basically think more highly of your brother than yourself. You know, and I do. I really appreciate y'all. I'm getting educated.
Right. Love, love, don't it? Love knows nothing else but to love. Love, love. It's a beautiful thing. And you know what, Brother Gary, I'm so glad you accept me as a being a female pastor. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm so glad that I know that I'm one of the children of Israel, that that's the only thing that matters right now, and that we have an inheritance and a heritage that's so powerful. We don't really know how powerful we are. You know, and in Sabbath class yesterday, I was trying to explain to them that we are so powerful that we can move the universe. It's just a matter of bringing up the level of consciousness to the point where you understand what oneness is. And when you understand what oneness is, everything else will take its place. It'll do what it needs to do. So we have a lot of teaching that we have to do. And you know, they say girls can't teach over here. So, you know, I guess I asked the Most High, why do you make me be the trailblazer? I don't understand, but I guess, you know, he knows that I have the right temperament for it, because I am who I am, and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. So we have a lot of stuff we have to endure. We have a lot of stuff we have to give out. We have a lot of things that we want to share, because we still haven't broke down Yahweh. And when the Most High gives to Sister Kavai and I the authority and the know-how to break down Yahweh, we're going to turn the Hebrew Israelite community upside down. What do you say, Sister Kavai?
That is the truth.
We are not even getting ready to touch it today, because if we touch it, if we could be on the phone for another 5 hours, when he releases us to share that revelation, because I shared it yesterday in Sabbath class, and people still calling me today like, you know, you blew my mind, don't you? It is so many things that he's given unto us to share to the whole nation, that the girls are on the block now. We are on. We standing here flat-footed saying, we have some things to say, and we want to talk to you guys, so you better listen, because it's all for our benefit. But until he allows us to break down what Yahweh means, oh, my goodness, it's going to turn everything upside down, because it's all off balance. So I won't say any more than that, because I've even got started again. Sister Kavai, we have about
10 minutes left if you want to say anything. Also, I want to make an announcement. The 2013 annual State of the Nation address has been changed to September the 1st. We're going to have a Sabbath day on August 31st. Please register at www.2013 annual State of the Nation address. Brother Abraham, if you could give your website while we're on the line, I'd appreciate it.
Yes. If you want more information on nationality and sovereignty and all of the documents of the United Nations of Israel, go to www.yahwillgather.us. So that's yahwillgather.us. And don't go to .com because that's not going to work. But if you can't figure out the .us, you can also go to www.yahwillgather.org. O-R-G, they both point to the same page. Shalom.
Great. Brother Gary, if you want to reach Brother Abraham, the phone numbers is on the actual website where you'll have access to reach him. If you need any more information, you can email us at nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. Anyone, we have a newsletter that goes out every month. If you want to get the newsletter, we send it out via email. Please email us at nationofyehuda@yahoo.com, and we'll make sure that you get a newsletter. Kavai, you want to take a couple of minutes, and then we're going to give everybody a chance to tell each other how much we love each other, and then we're going to sign off.
I just want to say this, that I thank the Most High for what Brother Abraham and the Nation of Israel have put together dealing with sovereignty. I remember actually being introduced to the concept, or not the concept, or the fact that I was a sovereign, actually by birth, when a few years back, it was back in the year 2004, that I had begun to study this information, study about the straw man, study about the trust account, study about the certificate of birth redemption process, all of that, and putting your UCC-1 on record and UCC-3 and all of these things and be allowing the straw man to be indebted to the sovereign. So, but I never really knew how to go about and actually put it together to the point where Brother Abraham has it on record and has been under the Nation of Israel, actually showing people this is how you do it. So I want to thank the Most High for the Nation of Israel, United Nation of Israel, and this powerful information that he is freely sharing to our people, because a lot of this information, if you try to get from others, they're going to charge you to get this information. But this gentleman, this brother, this leader is freely allowing us to get this access to this information and actually showing us what we need to do. So thank you for that, my brother. Thank you. And I will, Sister Kavak, will be calling you, because I did file my UCC-1 before under another process, and it was a group of Edomites that were showing us how to do it, and I have actually went through the process of filing it, and they returned my UCC-1. So I don't know exactly what happened, what I did wrong. I did exactly what they told me. So I'm excited about doing exactly what you have shown our brother and being more educated as to how to do it under the United Nation of Israel. So thank you to the panel. Thank you to all of our listeners, and we love you. And please, let's connect and get this work done that the Most High have for us to do. And that's all I have to say. Shalom and shalom.
All right. Anybody else want to say they love us and say goodbye? We only have 1 minute, and then we're going to go back to our song. And then we'll see everybody next week. Brother Adoniah, you have something to say? You want to tell me you love me today?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adoniah. Yes, I love all of y'all, and you're doing a magnificent job. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Ema, you got something to say? We're getting ready to let go. You want to say one more thing? I think her phone might be on mute. Brother Gary, you want to love on us a little more?
No, I just want to say again, I enjoyed the show. I appreciate it. I had spoken earlier that I did have a pre-engagement. I intended to be on the show about an hour and a half, and I was going to have to cut out, but I'm sure you all have heard my line beeping, so somebody's upset with me. But the conversation just got so deep, I couldn't let go, so they'll be okay. They'll be all right. But I appreciate y'all. Good. Good show. Good show.
Brother Abraham, you got something you want to say before we say goodbye? Ima, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back. Don't forget our brother Knock, too, Sister Yaina.
Sister Yaina, I don't have anything to say. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
All right.
Oh, that was the brother who called about the organization. Do we have any way of contacting him? Is he still on the line?
Sister Kavah has his information, and we, again, email us at nationofyehuda@yahoo.com and leave your email address, and then we'll get you the information you need.
Okay.
All right? So shalom,
all right,
everybody. Shalom. Love you.
Shalom.
We'll see you
love
next
you.
Week.
Hallelujah.
Hello. Hallelujah. We ready to go. We love you. See you later.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina Kavah. You still there?
I am here, sister.
All right. We'll see you next week. So long. You can tell them bye.
So long.
We got to get out of here.
All right. Love y'all. Shalom, everyone.
Bye-bye.